The following is a special local sports presentation on 92.1 WVTK. This is Middlebury Union High School football. All season long, catch every game, home and away, as the Tigers defend their state championship. Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK is brought to you in part by
your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union, Green Street in Virgins. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years. Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock. Martin's Hardware, Bristol and Middlebury, your True Value hardware store. Bordon Insurance of Middlebury, home of the co-op chicks for all your insurance needs. Eustace Farm Supply and Hardware, proudly started and run by the Eustace family of Brit Porch. Monument Farms of Weybridge, join the movement and support local farms. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Vermont Field Sports, for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns, Route 7 in Middlebury. Mike's Auto and Towing, for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike'sAutoMid.com. That's Mike's Auto, M-I-D-D.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, offering accounts for every stage of life to meet your financial needs in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Virgins. LaBerge Insurance, LaBerge equals insurance, Washington Street in Middlebury. Poulin Auto, changing the way you feel about buying a car in South Burlington and Barrie. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury. Desibray's Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, with a drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Virgins. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury. Fourth and Goal, everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Mike's Fuels, for all your home, business, and agricultural needs, Route 22A in Bridport. Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one. And J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
And now, with the call of today's game, here's Bjarke Sears and Marshall Hastings on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Well, all anything a football fan can ask for is an exciting game. And last week, the Middlebury Tigers, for the first time in a little while, surely gave it to him, Marshall, and maybe a little more than anyone wanted. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Week 5, and you're listening to Middlebury Tigers football on 92.1 WVTK. It's a beautiful night, fifth straight week of beautiful football weather, Marshall. Sun's going down out there in the west, lights are starting to turn on, fans are starting to filter out into the stands here, and Tigers, interesting week last week, wasn't it?
It was probably the most ideal week they honestly could have had. This is a team that comes off those three relatively comfortable wins, 1-3. Offense never really was all that productive throughout those first 3 weeks, and they relied a lot on their defense. So when the offense really wasn't going against Colchester, they needed something to happen. And I think that was the type of win they needed to be in a situation where we talked about a lot last week where they were down or they were ahead. Almost for the last 2 years, they haven't been in a situation where they needed a fourth-quarter comeback. That's exactly what they got, and that's something that is going to be invaluable for this team going forward when they start hitting the playoff run, because this is definitely a remastered team from the teams from 2 years prior. And they're going to need a new type of identity. I think they found that, and they'll have to use that Week 4 win as the season goes on.
It was an important win in a variety of ways, for sure, and a historic win for the Middlebury Tiger program. That was win number 26 in a row, which set a record. I think it was 1970 when the previous record was set. They weren't aware of that. It was kind of interesting to tell Trey Kaufman about that after the game. And that was the kind of thing for us where you kind of don't talk about it, just like a no-hitter. For the Tigers, they got there in pretty dramatic fashion, and I wonder, is some of the things that were exposed last week, I'm not sure we're going to find those out for a few weeks, how the Tigers are going to deal with those things.
No, we found out kind of a couple things that we'd seen before. Is this is not a secondary that's as potent against the pass as it has been a year past. And I think that it'll be interesting how they can continue to roll around that, because we did see in week one against Sean Anthony Mount, they had a lot of success through the year. Just a couple in last week. In the coming weeks.
Well, it's homecoming weekend here for Middlebury. Middlebury Tigers coming in at 4-0 and off that 26-game unbeaten streak. The Rebels of South Burlington coming in at 0-4 and certainly looking to get off the schneid. We're going to step aside here.
Hi, this is Craig Lee, sales manager at Foster Motors. Continuing through the end of the month, we have three Jeeps for under $200. Jeep Compass at $169, Patriot at $179, Cherokee at $199, and also take advantage of up to $9,800 total values on 1,500 Ram Bighorn. Jeep Celebration Event, Ram Truck Month, Chrysler Anniversary Celebration, Dodge Performance Days for well-qualified lessees. Come in to Foster Motors on Route 7 South in Middlebury for details.
Dilla Motorsports celebrates victory motorcycles with high performance,
exhilarating experiences every week in the month of September.
Visit Dilla Motorsports to learn more and get up to a $1,400 rebate on off-road vehicles. Up to $2,000 rebate on victory and a 5-year factory warranty on all remaining in-stock 2015 models with rates as low as 2.99%.
Certain restrictions and exclusions apply. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet. Never ride under the influence.
Dilla Motorsports, 7 Dilla Drive, Plattsburgh.
Dilla Motorsports.
Sometimes in life you just need a hand. Not because you fail, because we've all been there once or twice. It's because you want to make the right decision, to move forward, to make a change. Hello everybody, this is Alan Buzz Busby from Poulin Auto Sales and Service. And it's our mission to lend a hand, to help you move forward and make that change. Just a few months ago, Holly of Milton came to us and asked us to help her out. She'd been to several of the dealers without success. She was a mother who needed a safe, reliable car, and no one would give her a chance. So we did. We work with several lending agencies like Consumer Credit that will work with you, no matter your situation. So buy your next pre-owned car or truck from Poulin Auto Sales on Shelburne Road or Eastbury Road in Barrie. Change really is good, isn't it? See the video of Holly getting into her new car at PoulinAutoSales.com. Poulin Auto Sales and Service, changing the way you feel about buying a car.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
This is Middlebury Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And we're back with pregame here at 92.1 WVTK as we get set to kick off week 5 of the Tigers football season. And continuing on a process that looks a little different than it has the last couple of years. Marshall, you know, it was funny. There were some games the last couple of years where Dave and I would get to halftime and we would just be making stuff up. We'd be talking about field hockey, always one of Dave's favorite conversation points. And one time we did a breakdown of my daughter's first and second grade soccer game. Yeah, we would go far afield, and sometimes we had to, and that may have been a little much for people at home. But, you know, the Tigers haven't provided us that space this year, and certainly don't want to. And, you know, tonight I wonder, a trap game, what do you think? What do you think about trap games as a person who played on this field? As a, you know, do they exist? Is that a myth in people's minds? What do you think?
They exist, but it's tough to exist on a coaching staff led by Dennis Smith. We've played teams where it was most certainly a trap game, and he would never allow you to think it was. And so obviously South Burlington, a team that you ran into 2 years ago in a state championship game, it's tough to consider a trap game, although they are 0-4. But anytime you had a matchup where you should be going in as a win, and you might be looking 2 or 3 weeks down the line, he wouldn't let you think of that because he wouldn't even bring up the 2 week opponent, you know. And that goes for Jed Smith and John Neusiedler as well. Or excuse me, Jed Malcolm.
Happened is enough. So last week, exciting week, and really, you know, they faced a lot of things, but they ended up doing okay statistically. It didn't kill them. It certainly 2 weeks ago, going up against Czech Chiquita of Brattleboro, great running back, and we'll talk about what he did against South Burlington, but they were able to hold him. A lot of things are going right. Last week, as you pointed out, maybe one major thing got exposed. How does Dennis Smith and the rest of the coaching staff, how do they deal with that in the film room? Is that a spend a lot of time on that, or do you bury it a little bit and get past it, you think?
I think it's more of a you know, if I'm on this roster, I'm thinking more of what we did right. And they did do a really good job stopping the run. That was a an offense in Colchester that is extremely potent. And that triple option was one of the things they've done well. And you look back to that Chechiquite game in Brattleboro, and they shut him down. Now he does have, you know, I think .160, something like that, on 30 carries. So I'll take that every day of the week. So I'm not going to stress too much to this team that, you know, our secondary got kind of exposed. What I'm going to stress is we just got to put them in better situation. It's nothing that these guys did wrong. It's just that they did some things where we were just in bad positioning. They got behind us. That's simple as that. I mean, it's not like these is a more athletic on the other side of the ball. This is a very athletic secondary, a very capable secondary. So the problem was just two breakdowns. They had the 30-yard pass over the top, and then they nearly had two or three more of them over the top, which is, you know, a lack of concentration. So that's what I'm focusing on. It's nothing X and O's. It's just saying, hey, think this one through. Slow the game down a little bit and just know who you got, know where he's going, and just tail him the whole way, and we'll be fine.
You know, one of the things I'm interested in looking at is watch individual player development. And I think about Trey Kaufman. You know, this is somebody you and I watched for the first few weeks, and we saw times when he hit it hard, times when he glided a little bit. And it tried to get it out of him last week, and I think, you know, he wasn't quite ready even to process his thoughts. But I wonder whether we're going to see a different guy tonight, you know. And so if people don't know, Tigers went into the third quarter trailing 14-0. Trey absolutely ripped it up. He had had 3 yards in the first half and ended up running for over 110 and was running hard, was running powerfully, was just going after it. And to me, one thing I'm interested tonight in looking at, Marshall, is, you know, did a switch click in his mind where he says, wow, I can now, that's the way I could do it. You know, they used him last year. He got some good time, but he was always after Bobby. He was always after Cullen. He was always after those things. And now I wonder.
Team. And then your junior year, they start to rely on you a whole lot more. And you have to, it takes a minute or two to realize that you have the capability, and there's a reason that they're relying on you for the football. And I think we started to see that. So I do expect for the rest of this stretch, it's just a matter of getting out of your own head and saying, I know what the playbook is. I know where I'm supposed to go with this ball. I just got to be athletic and be my natural self and run the ball. And we started to see that in the fourth quarter especially. And I do expect that to carry over. And it may not be a fact where they start feeding the ball more. He just had some great looks last week, and they did things on the offensive side of the ball that were very successful in the fourth quarter, and even in Brattleboro, where we saw a lot of good counter runs from. Just patience is what he has to start preaching to himself, and just play the game the way he can, and we saw that in the fourth quarter, and I expect to see more of that as the season goes on, now that he's more comfortable and he has that confidence saying, you know, if they need to rely on me, I know now that I can do it, and not so much of a, if they rely on me, I hope I don't mess it up.
Absolutely. It'll be exciting to see. It'll be fun to watch tonight for sure against an opponent where he could really sustain that.
Absolutely.
And keep the effort going. And certainly Ali Abdel-Sader has been doing his part, and Cortland Fisher's really been tearing it up right now. Coming in tonight, 358 yards on the ground, 5.6 yards per carry, two touchdowns. One other question for you, Oakley Gordon. You know, it's been an interesting year for Oakley Gordon. He's playing terrifically on the defensive side. He's got to he did not get a completion. If you're the Tigers, that's something that really looked like they were going to build in. What do you expect to see them do with Oakley as time goes along?
Well, who's at that 358, 255 from Trey Kaufman. I like seeing that because what I know it means that he's not trying to do too much with the football. He realizes that this is not a one-man off. Saw all that, all those passing attempts. I think he was just trying to be the guy that just has to be the maestro of this orchestra. He just has to move the field, the ball down.
celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. A proud sponsor of Tiger football.
Hi, this is Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. Here's just a few things we do. Brakes, shocks, struts, wheel bearings, mufflers, tune-ups, oil changes, head gaskets, engine work. We diagnose check engine lights, ABS lights, airbag lights, TPMS lights. We do Vermont State inspections, belts, hoses, radiators, oil undercoating, front end alignments. What we don't do is Johnson rods, muffler bearings, or flux capacitors because they don't exist. So if your car skips, grinds, wanders, or sputters, give us a call. 388-4138 in Middlebury, 453-5563 in New Haven, or just hit us on the web at mikesautomid.com. Remember, if we can't fix it, it ain't broke. And like us on Facebook.
Soon the leaves will be turning and fall will be close at hand. Hi, this is Paul at Vermont Field Sports, and we would like to remind you that bow season is almost here. Make sure your bow is tuned up and ready for the hunt. Stop in to Vermont Field Sports and have Tim tune your bow for that shot you've been scouting for. And don't forget to check out the new PSE and Parker bows and crossbows. With 30 years experience, the staff at Vermont Field Sports can answer all of your questions. Vermont Field Sports, located at 1458 Route 7 South in Middlebury.
McIntyre Services, a family business owned and operated in Middlebury for 72 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline. One on 213 Exchange Street, and you have the news station, 49 Court Street. Both are in Middlebury, and both are open 24-7. Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage their customers to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, which gives you 5 cents a gallon off the pump price of gasoline or diesel. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 72 years.
Now back to Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
All right. And back at homecoming, Dave. It's just starting to get a little bit dark. Marshall, it's a beautiful night for football.
It is, and you know, I noticed as I came into the field, the field actually looks outstanding, especially the nice white crisp lines. The Tigers now on the painting of the Tigers on the field. It's something that certainly I'm a little jealous, considering my days were often covered in mud and never really a fast track out there. So this is a great night, and something they're getting lucky. No rain on Friday nights, which is something that don't often see, I suppose, in New England fall, but taking advantage of it, certainly.
No, it really hasn't perfect. And yeah, it's funny. Most years, it seems like there's a spot between 20 and 40 at each end of the field, or it's just a quagmire. Some years, that's of great advantage, I think, of Brian Ashley selling.
Like the fast track, obviously. So I knew if I could just get inside the 30, I was going to have some pretty decent footing. I was going to get out of that mud pile that was at midfield, and then I might be able to make a cut. But between the two 30s, that was Brian's zone my junior year. That was his chance to just kind of, you know, muck around watching people slip and slide, and if I could just get it inside the 30.
There was the destruction of them by Chuck Chiquite from Brattleboro. The shooter collected 236 yards and 5 touchdowns on 20 carries. Scored on TD runs of 30. Try to have to do it, but I don't see them having success the way this offense has been effective over the last couple of seasons or weeks. And we're back. And so...
North and Gold Sports is having a preseason sale, 20% off all in-stock 2015 hockey gloves, shin pads, shoulder pads, pants, elbow pads, and helmets by Bauer and CCM. While skates and sticks are not included in the sale, they are stocked and ready to outfit the Addison County skaters, men and women, boys and girls, from head to toe. Fourth and Gold Sports, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond. Fourth and Gold Sports.
Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. Our dry cleaning department is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to 3 on Saturday for all your dry cleaning needs. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk grade dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Use our drop-off locations at Linda's Apparel in Vergence and the Enchanted Closet in Bristol. Desabray on Exchange Street in Middlebury. There are many banks to choose from. There's just one which truly puts personal service first and foremost. That's One Credit Union in Vergennes. The people at One Credit Union specialize in making your banking an easy and positive experience. Add in their very competitive lending rates, low-fee banking services, and the many electronic banking options with 24/7 access to your accounts, you'll see why One Credit Union is gaining new customers every day. One Credit Union, Green Street, Vergennes. You'll like to business with them. One Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA.
Monument Farms Dairy in Wadebridge has been providing fresh milk for four generations. They grow their own feed, raise their own cows, process their own milk, and distribute their own product. For the freshest milk you can find locally, make it Monument Farms Milk. 100% Vermont milk for 100% Vermonters. Drink only the best from Monument Farms in Wadebridge.
The MUHS Tigers play here. WVTK, Port Henry, Vergennes, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
All right, as the Middlebury Union High School Choir comes out of the field to sing the national anthem, sorry everyone, we had a quick change. We went from our one system to an entirely different system there. Thank you very much for your patience. We appreciate it. And we should be uninterrupted now for the rest of the broadcast. We're now going to listen to the Middlebury High School Choir sing the national anthem. Actually, we are not. They did not microphone it this time. We are going to step aside, and we'll be back for the beginning of the game. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Hey, honey, I got the mail. Yeah, let's go through it here. Oh, no. Our insurance is due. Oh, man. You know, I wish we could get the same coverage for a little less.
Why don't we call the co-op chicks at Bordon Insurance in Middlebury? I have a friend that saw them and found out their payments went way down and with the same coverage.
When it's time to renew your insurance, whether it's one vehicle or your car, house, boat, and everything else bundled together, let Sue and the co-op chicks give you a free quote and save you money at the same time. Now, who doesn't like saving money? When you renew your insurance, trust the co-op chicks at Bordon Insurance and let them save you money. You'll find the co-op chicks at Bordon Insurance on Merchants Row in Middlebury or call them at 388-4888. That's 388-4837.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough. The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one stop for all your lumber needs or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884.
This is Middlebury Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
We have about 3 patients since we got that all worked out. Where, as I said before, it's going to be smooth sailing here from here on out. We're going to have our starters. I think, Marshall, you can probably make it through one section quickly before we get going here.
Absolutely. On the offensive side of the ball, up front for the Middlebury Tigers, Wyatt LaBerge, a left tackle, left guard, Nick Beauchamp in the gut, Pat Messinger, a center, Bruce Wright to the right guard, and Chris Greer, right tackle. Outside, we got Chase Messer and Nick Coe as the Tigers go to a wide receiver set this afternoon. Oakley Gordon under center, Corlin Fisher back behind him at the fullback position, and Ali Abdul-Sader and Trey Kaufman are the starting halfbacks today as for the Tigers as they take on South Front to Rebels. On the south front of the side of the ball, we'll get in real quick. Defensive side of the ball, up front we got Luis Gonzalez and Austin King, along with Ian Bullis and Eric Schweiger. In the secondary, Robbie Mufata and Manny Boardman, Rick Wortham, Jack Baldwin, and Rye Thayer, and the defensive linebackers, Noah Zhao and Devin Hebert.
And Oakley Gordon comes out and puts the ball down on the 40, getting ready to kick off. Tigers are going to be playing defense now. South Burlington's going to start out with it, going from left to right on your radio. So when we say the near field, that would be their right side. The far sideline will be their left side. And we have 2 returners back for South Burlington. And it's a decent kick. He goes up, bounces about the 20, and is corralled in over on that far sideline. And driven out of bounds at about the 23. That was carried by Spencer Grewell on that carry.
Tiger football brought to you by Vermont Field Sports for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns. Vermont Field Sports, Route 7 in Middlebury.
And for South Burlington, certainly they're going to want to start strong here. When you've had 4 weeks where you were in the hole for a lot of the time, you certainly love to come out and make some things work. They're coming out with 2 wide receivers to the left, 2 to the right. And it's going to be Thomas DeMag at quarterback. And DeMag is back in the shotgun. He's got 1 running back. He calls it out. Drops back. He's looking downfield to start. He's got a man over on that far sideline. Gets driven out after a gain of about 11. That's to Spencer Grewell.
I did want to talk about matchups. This could be an ideal one for South Burlington, a passing team against the secondary that had some trouble, as we talked about in the past couple weeks. And we'll see how often they can go to this hurry-up offense and make work through the air against this secondary.
I'm sorry. I thought they picked up the first down. They were a little bit short. It's going to be a 2nd and 1 here. Just the beginning of the game, 11:50 left to go in the first quarter. Score 0-0, Middlebury and South Burlington. A little bit of delay as they look over to the far side here. Looks like they are checking to see whether or not first down was achieved. No, then it was about a yard short.
It'll be second and one.
Big opportunity here. Expect maybe to air it out deep. You know that on second one, if you don't get it, third inches, really, if you don't get anything, you can go to the ground there. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Rebels try to air it out again here, try to take advantage of the secondary that's had some struggles in week one and week four against some pass-oriented offenses.
And if they're going to run it, it's going to be Colby Barrett, who's the lone setback in the backfield. It's Thomas DeMag looking over the sideline, getting a signal from the coaches. Like Middlebury, they appear to be using a no-huddle offense, although it's slow-moving so far. And it's DeMag waiting for the ball. He calls it, and he hands it up to Barrett up the gut. Barrett turns forward for a gain of a couple there, right in the middle of the Tiger defensive line.
And it looked like the Rebels got away with a false start there. Robbie Mufata, the slot receiver here on the Middlebury sideline, looks like it took off about half a second early. No flag, though. That's something they certainly take advantage of now if you're a Rebels. Should have been second really in five following that play. Say you got a first down.
And DeMag looking for his signal there. He's still got the same setup. Two receivers right, two left, one setback. Goes back and looks for the bubble screen out to the outside, 25. He gets wrapped up pretty quickly, about 2 yard gain as he moves forward there. That reception was to Noah Zhao over on the near side here.
And again, the Rebels getting lucky there. It looked like Andrew Gleason was pulled down from behind as he went to make the tackle. And no flag again here on this play side. The Rebels are walking a tight line with no penalty. Certainly, if they'll start to, the flag start to throw, Rebels could be in a lot of trouble. That's two consecutive plays. They seem to have committed one.
The Rebels seem to realize the Tigers, one way to attack the Tigers is through the air. And this time he pulls it down. Quarterback looked like he was going to throw. Now he's working over to the left sideline, able to find a hole on that left, able to get forward, and able to pick up a first down. Pretty nifty running there by Thomas DeMag.
And it's good blocking on the edge. Again, maybe a little questionable. It looked like Ali Abdul-Sitter got pushed from behind there, a little block in the back, but no penalty again. And that's DeMag realizing there was no option there on the screen pass to the left. Decided to tug him. He's athletic enough to pick up the first down.
But for the Tigers, they usually throw the ball so effectively. The fact they weren't able to get him as he went laterally to the side was surprising. It's DeMag asking for it again. This time it's a run up the middle of the running back. Finds a nice little hole. Gains about 3 yards. Colby Barrett up the middle.
This is not a defense I expect to really get gashed right now on the ground. If South Burlington wants to have a lot of success tonight, it's going to have to be through the air. This is a defense that's proven they can be rather stout in the offensive running game. So South Burlington's going to have to be effective through the air if they want to try to knock off the Tigers.
Second and eight here for the Rebels from about the 49. It's DeMag dropping back, looking for a man in open space on his near side, and he's dragging the defender as he goes, picking up a nice gain. He's going to be right about at the stick. That was Colby Barrett this time, working as a wide receiver.
That's a nice job for Barrett. He's in the spot. He comes out on the swing wrap, doesn't try to do too much. Knows that he needs to get the first down and knows where it is. It's a great job getting up inside there and not trying to break a long one, but rather just move the sticks.
And so far, three different ways of touching the ball for Colby Barrett. Certainly somebody appears to have a lot of different ways that he could be used out here on this offense. And they're looking over to the side. And DeMag calling for it. DeMag dropping back, looking for Barrett again over on that left side. Nice set of seams, and into the second level there. And he's going to pick up a 5 yard gain as he finds some space on the left side of the field.
And DeMag's left wide open on that swing route out of the backfield. No one's flows to him as they're playing a zone defense, but the zone kind of breaks down on that far side. Leaves the Mag wide open. Like you said, head of steam, he gets downfield and gets that big 5 yard gain.
Where the Tigers were suspect last week was in the long ball, and right now South Burlington is doing some work by getting open spaces, using the spread offense, and able to get the ball short and let the runners do something with it. And here is DeMag calling for it from the shotgun again. He's got Barrett with him. And this time it's Barrett cutting over to the left side, swallowing up pretty quickly there. Gain of maybe three as he heads towards the far sideline.
That's a good read there from Barrett. He sees up inside is not really sealed up from him as Joe Mount was the pulling guard right there for the Rebels. And instead he bounces it outside of Mount, gets a little bit of success. Probably would have maybe been about a yard less. So great defense again. Like we talked about, up front this is a stout defense for the Tigers. They're not going to allow a lot of yards on the ground.
And it's going to be third and three from the 34 of the Tigers as the as they've looked so far tonight, a spread offense, two left, two right, one running back, Colby Barrett, in the backfield. And DeMag calls for it. DeMag throws out. That's going to be a first down to his big tight end over on that far side. And he gets dropped out. Nice gain for them, about 8 yards past the Spencer Gruel.
Tiger Football brought to you by the A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, Sustainable Timber Harvesting, and SFI Certified.
And one has to think, Marshall's defense might be getting a little lather here, getting thrown against like this.
And what we talked about in the pregame, they've had some struggles with effective passing games, and this drive has been what they've seen the last couple weeks.
And DeMag, he's got one man in motion from the left to the right. He's got three wide receivers on his right side. DeMag looks for that receiver who had been in motion, Nick Leshinsky. And Leshinsky is able to evade one tackle and gets up to about the 25.
Tigers are getting a lot of pressure on DeMag in the backfield off the end with Jared Nemo and with Brady LaRocque. But this is an offensive scheme where it's predicated on a quick pass. So the quarterback, DeMag, is not going to be holding the ball long. He's not looking downfield. This is about a two-step drop, find that first read and hit him. And although he's got hands in his face, the ball is out so quick. And as it's meant to be, they're having some success with that. That was a great job to keep Szczesny from getting downfield and slows the play down for him.
So far, six passes, four runs for the South Burlington Rebels. Second and nine with the ball on the Tigers. 29-25, scores 0-0 in fairly early in the first quarter. Timeout is taken here by South Burlington.
This is a good opening drive right now for the Rebels. They're having a lot of success through the air, doing kind of the one thing that the Tigers have had some struggles in stopping. And like we said, they're quick to get the ball out, which means that they don't have to worry too much about an extended blocking in the backfield. And if I'm Tigers, I got to take advantage of that. You know you don't want to get beat over the top, but you're also giving up so many yards underneath. You're giving about an 8-yard cushion off the ball that you're playing right into the hand of the Rebels. This is an offense that wants to be ball the quarterback, ball the wide receiver in about 2 to 3 seconds, and you're allowing them to do that even though you're getting pressure on DeMag in the backfield.
And what's funny is, you know, so often you think of a ball control offense being a running offense, but in a way, these short passes really almost work like long handoffs.
Absolutely, they are. And when you give the Rebels receivers so much room to work with, it means DeMag has a lot of room to air on his throw. He doesn't have to be pinpoint accurate. It can kind of fail a little bit or lead the receiver one way or the other, knowing that the defender isn't there to intercept it.
Sure, there hasn't really been a defender around any of these passes. It's DeMag. He's got one to the right, one moving to the left, so he's got trips to the left. And it looked like there was the movement you were talking about, Marshall. As that ball was snapped, it looked like Canadian football. There's people in motion all over the place.
We'll see just how long the Rebels can get away with a couple of those plays. I think even on that last 2-yard reception, there was some movement on the far side, and the Rebels are towing that line. And if they continue to do it, not one or two plays they've done it, but on the majority of the plays on this drive, they've been in movement, in motion illegally, and I'm shocked there hasn't been more penalties. But if this is a recurring theme, I think the Rebels are going to have a lot of trouble moving the football down the field, even though the offense has looked good so far in this possession.
The score is 0-0 with 7:51 left to go in the first quarter. It's 2nd and 14 with the ball on the 30, the Middlebury Tiger 30. South Burlington moving the ball, but in a little bit of a stop here. And it's a pitch out, and it's a touching half that pass. That ball is knocked down, and the Tigers able to pick it up. We're going to see whether the ruling on the field was a pass incomplete. It was. The ball, much like Tuck game fans will recall, that ball was moving forward. I don't think there's a lot of question about that.
That's the right call. Obviously, you're right there. And I like this play. That, you know, it's not when you come in your own four. You've got a team that's got a lot of confidence coming off their comeback win last week. You want to do something a little crazy here on this opening drive. And certainly that's a play where, you know, the Tigers probably haven't seen anything like that to this season. A nice halfback pass. So it's a great play there. I like the idea. Now, though, you're looking at 3rd and 14 in a situation where had you tried to pick up a little bit more, you could have been looking at a 3rd and maybe 7, 3rd and 8. Now it's a little less manageable.
Trouble sometimes with gadget plays is people are so fixated on executing them. Really, Colby Barrett probably should have just pulled that ball down and done something with it. And again, do we have motion on the South Burlington Rebels? I was just about to go to the play call. They already got called.
And this is something that now they're starting to come back. Like I said, they maybe missed 3 to 4 penalties before these last two have hit. But now this great drive that was once looking very promising is not, based on those penalties that they were just kind of getting lucky that they weren't getting called already.
And maybe getting a little hyped up here with their early success. It's hard to say. But as you said, they're facing a 3rd and basically 20 here, whereas before they've been moving along, and they have motion again. Oh, my goodness. That's absolutely terrible on the part of the offensive line here. That was looked like the right tackle moved on that one.
Just a lack of discipline right now. You have a great drive going to get the ball inside the 30 or about the 23-yard line, going with about a 2nd and 9, 2nd and 8. And then these three penalties all consecutively are coming back to haunt you in the trick play that fails as well. So now a once very promising drive is now appearing to be all for naught.
And so now they're going to try to get themselves on track. Three over to the left, one running back in the backfield, one to the right, and DeMatt calls for it. DeMatt dropping way back, can't really make up his mind, and nice catch there by his running back. Nice catch by Coral McGarrett, able to go up and snag it with one hand. However, far too little, far too late. That's going to be probably the end. Well, they go for it, of course.
Now, there was a lot of uncomfortability in the backfield there for DeMatt. Like we talked about, this is an offense that kind of is based off quick pass plays, and that was a great pocket, but he's not used to having to hold the ball for that long. That throw, if that's on for Barrett, he's got a lot of running room. That's going to bring up a much better fourth and manageable. Instead, now you got fourth and 12.
And sure enough, they're going up for it on the fourth and 12. Five receivers streaking down the field. It's the Mavs throwing it up high. He's got a chance, but it's knocked away. Oakley Gordon able to get fingertips on it. It's hard to say whether Colby Barrett ever really would have had a chance as he was just streaking down the field. It's going to be a turnover on downs. South Burlington, as promising as that drive was, coming up empty.
High School Football on 92.1 brought to you by Monument Farms of Weybridge. Join the movement and support local farms. And I thought that DeMag had Barrett wide open a little earlier in the play. Had he thrown that, like, you don't need the full 23 there. All you needed was 12. He had Barrett open if he had thrown that maybe 2 seconds earlier instead he holds a little too long.
And the Tigers come out with no wide receivers and the double wing. Ali Abdul-Sader goes first, handed up to Corliss Fisher up the middle of the field, as we've gotten so used to earlier this season. And that's a good 5-yard gain or so for Corliss Fisher.
And I think that the Middlebury could have a lot of success. This is a very big offensive line, and we don't have the weight and the height of this the defensive line, but it is very hefty, and Middlebury should have the athletic advantage over them in this game. I expect the option to work pretty well.
Courtland Fisher, Trey Kaufman, and Ali Abdul-Sader. The handoff is to Abdul-Sader, going to the right side. Huge space on that outside. Picks up the first down easily. Still running. Finally, the defense flows over to him. And Abdul-Sader's tremendous gain of about 20 yards.
And High School Football brought to you by Houston Farms Supply and Hardware. Proudly started and run by the Houston family of Bridgeport. And like I said up front, I'm just going to guesstimate the weight here from Austin King. I'd say it's pushing 350, and that means that Middlebury has a great athletic advantage. They got a lot more speed up front. That's why that counter's going to work. You can just ride him inside and let his natural weight take him inside.
Tigers set up for their own 47. This time they hand off to Trey Coffin, who's running strong like we expected. He crosses over about a 5-yard gain, gets into South Burlington Rebel territory.
And Middlebury's not going to be, by any stretch of the imagination, outweighing many teams. Certainly not tonight. They're not going to have the weight advantage up front. But this is a very quick offensive line. Something that we saw also in Brattleboro, we talked about that. Brattleboro had a very big offensive line. That's why Chex Yakite could go for 258 on 20 carries. I expect similar team numbers tonight for the Tigers.
And it's Oakley Gordon under center. He's got his three running backs. Ali Sander going in motion, but this time it's Fisher up the middle, battling for a couple yards, but stoned pretty quickly by the defensive line of South Burlington.
And this is going to be a big third down. This is a defensive front that has broken on the last three plays. This one's, a little anomaly. You force the option up inside. Oakley Gordon actually has a good read to give it to Corlin Fisher up inside. Doesn't really get a lot. Now you're looking at third and about four, a long third and four. If you can get a stop here and try to get your offense back on the field, I would expect this being four down territory, but if you can get a stop and try to get your offense back on the field, try to punch first against the Tigers.
And it's 0-0 with 5 minutes left to go in the first quarter. Oakley Gordon comes into center. He has it to Ali Abdul-Sader, goes down right side, again finds space, still firing up the sideline as he gets to about the 33 of the South Burlington Rebels.
And that's the third consecutive counter that Middlebury has run, and again, probably averaging about 12 yards per touch here. I'd expect a lot more counters until South Burlington proves they're going to stop it, because right now they're not. They haven't shown that, and they just don't have the speed right now up front and at the linebacker position to hang with Ali Abdul-Sader and Trey Coffin when they get to the edge.
Huge holes, as you say. Not even holes, just open space on that far side. And it's Oakley. He gives it to Fisher. Goes up the middle now. He's juking. He's got some holes opened up by that line. And he gets down. That's a nice gain of about six. Down to the 27 of the Rebels.
And Austin King was in the backfield there. That's a great trap play. You're basically pulling the guy right in front of Austin King. Bruce Wright. He's going to clear that out up inside for Corlin Fisher on the counter for the fullback. And Austin King is in position to make the tackle, but because Middlebury has the athletic advantage, they're able to just run right by him and get 6 yards there on that first down.
And it's Oakley Gordon under center with his three running backs. This time, Sawyer Ryan's in a tight end with Brady LaRoff. This one goes straight Coffin on the left side. Cuts back inside. It's a man over pursues. And he gets across the 25 to about the 24. But that's going to bring up, there's still going to be a little bit to go before they get the first down.
We talked about Trey Coughlin. We wanted to see him run hard. I thought he ran maybe a little too hard that time. He overran Nick Bochamp, who had pulled out to get the cornerback on that top sweep there. And because of that, he had to force that backside. No, he did a great job. Puts his foot on the ground and gets north. A little bit more patience. Make sure your lineman's down in front of you before you take off running.
Third and one for the Tigers. They've got two tight ends for their standard three running backs. This is going to be movement on the Tigers. Flag comes out quickly.
And high school football here on 92.1 brought to you by Bordon Insurance in Middlebury, home of the co-op chicks for all of your insurance needs.
And looks someone on the Tigers offensive line moved here. It looks like it's going to be in the garden variety, five-yard variety here. We'll see. Yes, it is. That's going to be their first of the night. And that's been a common refrain so far. We've had three of those already on South Burlington, one on Middlebury now. And as you pointed out, there could have been quite a few more on South Burlington as we started. Generally, though, the Tigers are more disciplined than their opponents. That's something certainly we've seen over the years. And Oakley Gordon coming up to the line. He's got two tight ends. He's got his three running backs in the double wing. And Gordon calling out the numbers. He's under center. He gets the snap. He flips it out to Ali Abdul-Sader. He's going to try that right side again with success. Oh, not quite the same success that he did before. This time getting up to the 25.
That's a good play there from the South Burlington Rebels. We talk about they're not really quite as fast right now as the Middlebury Tigers offensive front. But they did a good job of scrambling Ali Abdul-Sader out. They didn't let him get to the edge and cut it up. I expect maybe a counter here on fourth and two you're going for, or you're going to look at the typical option play. You've had a lot of success on that, and you know you have the speed to get it up inside and also to the edge here for the Tigers.
And so they have everybody down in the line except for the three running backs. Here comes Gordon under center. He's got Jerry Nemo this time in, and the handoff goes to Jerry Nemo, and Jerry, as he likes to do, puts off some tenacity there, and he busts up for the first down, gain of four, gets through a hole on that offensive line.
He's got that quick twitch type of speed that we've talked about. He runs a little crazy, but it's a controlled crazy, and he does a great job, has the patience to see the hole, and as soon as he sees that hole, he's putting the ground, and it's going forward. That's a great run there, and a great play call, the 25 power kick there to get up inside and have some lead blocker there for Jerry Nemo, who runs wild.
Now Chase Messner is in a wideout for the Tigers. They've got their three running backs, but Chase is in there. Trey is in motion. And it's Oakley Gordon rolling out to his left. He's looking downfield. He's got Chase open in the end zone. Able to bring it in. A save a single. Touchdown. Middlebury Tigers from the 19-yard line. Oakley Gordon to Chase Messner.
And that's a great play from Oakley Gordon. Now he had, I believe it was Brady Rock. Sawyer Ryan coming wide open backside. But that's a great ball. He doesn't throw it behind Chase Messner too much. To allow the safety to come back in and make the play. It's a great play, and it's someone that you kind of lull them to sleep with the running game. You lull them to sleep with the counter and the options then. And then you give them a little play action, you toss it over the top. Great play call and a great drive put together there from Tigers.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. So often you see when all of a sudden you get a package that isn't in there and you get a wide receiver either in motion or hadn't been in, it so often goes to them. It's Gordon coming in. He puts the extra point up, and the extra point is good. It's 7-0 Tigers late in the first quarter. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark. These football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
This is where the Middlebury Tigers play. 92.1 WVTK.
And we're back here with 2:12 left to go in the first quarter. The Middlebury Tigers leading the South Burlington Rebels by a score of 7-0. A lot of the heavy lifting done on that drive by Ali Abdul-Sader. But it was Oakley Gordon to Chase Messner. Gordon's first pass of the night. Messner's first snap of the night. And it was a 19-yard connection, and the Tigers are on the board.
And kind of what we expected to see on that drive, like we talked about, Brattleboro had a lot of success on the ground with Chek Chiquite. You come in with an offense that's based, again, on the ground. You have a four-headed monster in the backfield that any one guy can break free, and that's basically what we saw on that drive. Great counter looks. Middlebury has a
unbelievable athletic advantage up front. Now, this is a big, heavy defensive front for South Burlington, but not nearly as athletic and quick as the offensive line for Middlebury. And that's why they're giving up all these big yards on the ground, and Middlebury should be able to continue to take advantage of that and get this running game going.
And it's Oakley Gordon getting ready to kick it off here. South Burlington will be taking over. They've got men back. And man grabs it, and he fumbles it out of his hands at about the 10. He picks it up, tries to reverse field. He's now in the middle, and he's not really gaining much upfield. He's going to get dropped down by a gang of Tigers at about the 18. Jerry Nemo in on that, along with Maverick Payne.
It's going to be interesting the type of adjustments that the Tigers are going to make here in the secondary. You gave them a lot of cushion on that last drive. You basically said, you want 6 to 7 yards per time through the air, you can have it. We're going to try to stop you and make you stop yourself. It'll be interesting if they try to go with a little bit closer, maybe a little tight zone or man coverage here on this drive to try to not allow those quick passes that this offense likes. When DeMag had time in the pocket, he almost looked more uncomfortable than when he didn't have time and had to get the ball out quickly.
Yeah, it seems like if he didn't see that first option, maybe he got a little flustered. So they should certainly watch people who are in motion and the closer of the two receivers, the slot receivers. DeMag has four receivers. He has one man in the backfield. That running back takes up the middle, busted through some people. Certainly a nice run there by Barrett. He went right up the middle, running through people, close to a first down. It looks like it's a little shy.
And now that the weighted advantage here for South Burlington, it is actually an advantage on the offensive line. A bigger offensive line than the Tigers are going to counter with on the defensive side of the ball, and that should lead to a lot of success now through the ground. And Colton Barrett's a good back. He's got great vision that we've seen so far and some good quickness that when he sees the hole, he hits it and doesn't wait around for the hole to come or try to make his own.
And it is DeMag dropping back. He's got Barrett in pass protection. Man comes on. DeMag pulls it down himself. Open space on the left side of the field as he runs forward, sheds a tackle, and gains about 6 yards on that run. A flag came in at the end. We'll see what that was for.
And all three refs on that side of the field are throwing a flag. And it could be a face mask, potentially, or a hole, but it wouldn't be surprised if it's a face mask there. There's a little bit of a jerk there of DeMag's face.
I don't know, looks like South Burlington is walking backwards, which can't help them there. So that's going to be the fourth penalty of the night for South Burlington. And that was a nice play there by DeMag, by Thomas DeMag. He really got the man immediately up in his face, did a nice job of pulling that down and getting to some space on that side. But sometimes when something looks good, it's partially because you have an extra second to do it, because you got a hold.
And the penalty is going to be on the wide receiver on that play side, blocking, I believe it was Ali Abdul-Sader. But when we looked at DeMag there, it was a one read and go. And he looked at that first man, and he didn't see him open. Immediately tucked and ran. I'd like to see him progress through your reads a little bit more. And if he's not going to do that, as long as Millwright can take away his first read, they're going to have success in the passing game.
South Burlington trailing by 7-0 with a minute 15 left to go in the corner. It's DeMag out to this near sideline, gets an open receiver. Receiver cuts back in outside the far defender, and able to gain up a little bit, and gain probably about 7 there on that throw.
That's a good play there from Rick Worthen. Gives himself a little bit of time, but it was a great block at the same time from, I believe it was Paul O'Neill here, who is able to block Andrew Gleason just long enough to get Worthen up inside and have some success and pick up, you know, a big half to that 10 yards that you lost on the block in the back.
And it's South Burlington lining up from the Middlebury Tigers 30. It's 2nd and 8, and it goes to DeMag. He's dropping back. He looks for his running back on the near side, plowing forward into a gang of Tigers, including Sawyer Ryan and Jerry Nemo, about 4 yard gain there for Colby Barrett.
And the key again is going to be Middlebury just not allowing anything downfield. You can take away the first read right now from Bang. This is an offense that basically is first read base, and that's not a result of DeMag not going through his progression as much as it is. This is going to be, you got one guy that's going to be open immediately, hit him. And if the Middlebury Tigers can find a way to either be on top of that guy as he gets the ball or, you know, cover him completely, South Burlington is going to have a lot of trouble moving the ball through the air when those first reads are gone.
That runs out here in the first quarter. It's Middlebury Tigers leading South Burlington by a score of 7-0 on homecoming weekend here. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Hey, sports fans, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold on Main Street in Middlebury, Vermont.
This season, whether you're looking to design the perfect engagement ring, searching for jewelry for that special occasion, or wanting to restore or repair any piece of jewelry, stop in at Autumn Gold to visit our talented lineup of in-house designers, goldsmiths, and service pros. We'll help you get around those bases and score a home run. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
Real trust is having a partner you can count on. National Bank of Middlebury has experienced bankers providing advice, guidance, and support you can trust, and a full range of loans, savings, and online products and services. Find out what having the right partner can do for you. Offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at mbmvt.com. Bank real. Live real. National Bank of Middlebury.
Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
Now back to Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And it's third down and four for South Burlington as they start the second quarter trailing by a score of 7-0. And so it's Thomas DeMag back in the shotgun with one as the running back. And there is another penalty on, I'm just going to assume it was on the South Burlington Rebels. I think you're wrong.
Pre-play was signaling that, but it could be that they're saying Ali Abdul Sader was offside. They are. They're saying that he was offside. So a tough break, and that's just a lack of knowing where the line is. You got to, whenever the wide receiver goes up to the line of scrimmage, he's always going to ask the play side referee if he's on or if he's off. The referee's going to tell him. The referee's not going to tell the defensive back, but you should always be doing the same thing from the cornerback position. You should be checking to make sure that you're not going over that line yourself.
And that was a decent sized penalty there for the Tigers. Although it's 5 yards, that does make it first down. So it's going to be first and 10 for South Burlington from their own 39. Thomas DeMag's going to have two receivers to the left. He's going to have, looks like, one over to the right, and he's going to have his man, Colby Barrett, in the backfield. Now two receivers to the right. I'm sorry. And DeMag takes the snap. He steps back. He's looking downfield. He's got a man short. He's able to turn upfield and get out of bounds after a gain of about 7. That pass was caught by Paul O'Neill, his first catch of the night.
And you can see that uncomfortability that DeMag gets when that first read is there. He pumps about twice before he's able to get that ball out because he's not ready. That's the first read look, and it wasn't there immediately. He was just waiting for him to get open. I'd like to see him make a little bit of a look somewhere else, knowing that you got other guys going in motion and running routes.
Second and four for the South Burlington Rebels, still trailing by 7. Thomas DeMag in the shotgun calling. He had a wide receiver moving on that far side. These guys just need to know they need to stay put until the play is started.
This is really an unbelievable lack of discipline. I'm sorry. I mean, this is, you come in, your first drive, you have a lot of success. You get inside the 25-yard line, you're in business against the best team in the state right now. And you shoot yourself in the foot with three straight penalties, false starts. This isn't in-game penalties. These are pre-snap penalties. So you know what the ball is on. You know what the snap is on. You should not be taken off early at any point from the offensive side of the ball.
Right. It's not like you're pulling somebody down because the man blew it up the line or something like that. Well, DeMag must be getting frustrated, but he's not showing it. He's in there, high snap. He's dropping back. He's looking downfield. He's being pursued in the backfield, able to get over on the left side. He's now tucking it down and running. Nice spin move. He got past the defender. Pretty decent pick up there by Thomas DeMag. Able to make it about 6 yards.
And that was designed as a screen pass to the right side. And the fact was, that was actually set up screen. If DeMag had just lofted that one over to Barrett, Barrett had a, first off, he had linemen in front of him setting up the screen. And second, there was no defenders as the defensive line from Middlebury just flooded into the backfield. But that actually turns out to be a good play from DeMag. Shows athleticism, is able to get away from the oncoming rushers. A little lack of discipline now there on the defensive side of the ball for the Tigers. You got to see, you're not getting blocked. It's probably because of a screen going back over your head.
Thomas DeMag with four wide receivers. DeMag in the shotgun with Barrett behind him. DeMag looks out to the outside, gets a man out there, and the man isn't able to get much as Tigers converge on him over there. Looks like he gained about 3. Question will be whether or not it was a first down. I think he tried to leave it in first down area. Official walks over and says, I don't know about that. Moves it back about a foot or so.
It's going to be fourth and short from this angle, and we could have the wrong angle. Certainly a better angle than we had last week in Manchester. But I think this is going to be about fourth and short. I would expect South Burlington to go for it. And now, if you remember, if South Burlington doesn't get this first down, which we'll see in a second if they do or don't. And it's close.
And it's—I mean—it's probably about a chain.
Well, that's one where you really have to see. I think they're going to have it. I think they're going to have it by the nose of the football, where I'm seeing it here. But
they're going to mark him short.
They're
going to mark him short. But now, if you're South Carolina, you don't really—you're not used to going under center, which is what I like to do. I like to go under center and do a little QB sneak. Your shotgun team, which gives Middlebury the capability to get into the backfield and stop you on the ground game. So this is kind of a tough first or fourth and short to be in if you're South Burlington. I'd like to go under center and see a QB sneak or send Barrett up inside. In all likelihood, it probably will be a run from the shotgun, but still going to Barrett or maybe a read option to the max.
Yeah, nothing that we've seen so far that really set you up for this guy to play. And looking out there, they've got four wide receivers and one running back. Say they've been set up all night. They certainly don't need a false start here. And it is DeMag in the back of the net. And as you said, right up the middle, able to power forward, busted through the line. He got stood up there. It did well before the line, but he was able to push with those strong running back legs and able to pick up a first down for the South Burlington Rebels.
That was the fear, that in the shotgun, you're going to be stuffed in the backfield because you don't have that advantage of being on the line and being able to just run up inside. But a great run from Coley Barrett. He gets hit, and he does give that second life and second push, gets him just about a yard, but all yard was all they needed.
Talk about a guy they rely on. Even Chuck Chiquita gets breaks. And, of course, they use him a little more. But Coley Barrett has run the ball every step, so when the DeMag has kept it himself, it's been all Coley Barrett all night. And the staff goes back to DeMag. It's high. He's running over by himself to the right side, just absolutely overthrew his man, who was about 15 yards ahead of him right over on the sideline. That's going to set up third down and 10 for the second and 10 for the South Burlington Rebels.
And Tiger Football brought to you here on 92.1 by Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock. And again, DeMag's got hands in his face and he's forced to leave the pocket there. We'll see if they can try to get something. It's that first read offense. We'll see if they can hit this first read here on second and 10. It's certainly a big down.
DeMag with his four receivers, his one set back in Barrett. The handoff is to Barrett up the middle. Nice hole there on the left side. Maybe cut it back a little too early. Able to gain about five on that run, though.
A lot of strength on the offensive line here for South Burlington, and that's why Barrett's going to have a lot of success and has had a lot of success so far through this game. Despite the fact that Middlebury is one of the better run-stopping teams in the state, when you've got such a big offensive line like South Burlington has, you're going to find ways to have success on the ground.
Sawyer Ryan then on the tackle for the Tigers. It's DeMag in the shotgun. And he's calling for it. This time he gets Barrett in motion, moves him over to the right side. This is when South Burlington gets in trouble and they start moving people around. Not sure what they did that for. And DeMag is calling it out. He's got no receivers. He's got five all spread out wide. And South Burlington completely confused themselves. They call for a timeout.
There are about 2 seconds left on the play clock there. If you look at the back judge, he's the one keeping charge of the play clock. When his hand goes up, that means 5 seconds to the left. And then he's going to count it down. Basically, a basketball ref would just exaggerated hand motion. Then he had done it about three times. So they were running out of play clock time and really no sign of that play getting off. And now, certainly if you're South Carolina, you don't want to take a false start because that would just add to this undisciplined offense that we've seen with all the false starts that they've had. So, penalty now, you're at a timeout. You only got one left, 9 minutes left. But obviously you take that advantage every day as far as losing 5 yards.
So the South Burlington Rebels, 3rd and 6 right now when they come back down. They're trailing by a score of 7-0. Middlebury Tigers leading with 9:01 left to go in the second quarter. Tigers are on the board on a strength of a 19-yard throw from Oakley Gordon to Chase Mesner in the first quarter. And right now for South Burlington, although they have been able to make some hay as they've been able to move down the field a bit, their own problems have caused their own penalty problems have given them some fits as well. And here they come back out facing that 3rd and 6. Now even here they're moving pretty slowly. They're going to have to watch that play clock as they go along.
45.
And in their standard setup they've had all night, four wide receivers, Thomas DeMag and Colby Bear in the backfield. DeMag keeps it himself, finds the hole on the right side. A nice hole opened up by the offensive line. Gains about 7 on that run. It's a first down. They're going to be at about the 37 of the Middlebury Tigers.
And certainly this is the type of drive that if I'm South Burlington, I like to see. You watch Middlebury have a lot of success against your defense. Have a time-killing drive where you're not trying to break from the defense score and tie this game up immediately, but rather
kill some clock. Make sure that Middlebury doesn't have the capability to go up by two scores or three scores real quick, and be patient with your offense.
Thomas DeMag in the shotgun. He gets it, drops back. He's looking downfield, has the man open, and he's able to corral it. That catch was made right in the middle of the field by Paul O'Neill. That's going to be a nice pickup there.
And that's a good play. That's the first time that we've seen a play go for long, prolonged gain here for the Rebels. They've done a lot of short, kind of meticulous passing plays. That was a nice one. A great post route run from O'Neill from the far side slot. Gets behind the linebackers just inside the secondary. And a good ball from DeMag. Puts it low, so only O'Neill is going to be the one to catch it.
16-yard gain on that pass from DeMag to O'Neill. And DeMag's back in it. He's all by himself in the shotgun. Looking downfield again. Why not? And this time there's really nothing going there. He looks for Barrett that just went over off of the left flat.
Now, I wouldn't say Barrett was the guy that was most open on that play. He was most open when DeMag had made his first read and saw that he was open. I think had he looked to the middle of the field, he could have seen his two guys who were both running post patterns towards the center of the field and towards the end zone. A little more patience to look downfield. You know, if this guy's open underneath, you can come back to him. Look deep, work your way back a little bit in that type of scenario. And again, it's first read looks right now from DeMag. And when the Tigers are able to shut down the first look, they've had a lot of success in stopping the pass.
Thomas DeMag now has Barrett at the backfield with him, and his standard four receivers. DeMag's keeping it himself up the middle. Bruce Wright immediately gets his hands on him as DeMag comes to come through. That's going to be a loss of a yard for the South Burlington Rebels.
And that's a great play, like you said, from Bruce Wright. He's able to blow through Ian Bullis on the right side of the field, and that's where that play was coming back to. DeMag has a play action fake to Barrett going left, and he's coming right back in behind, and Bullis has got to do a little bit better job, but all the credit needs to go to Bruce Wright. Great job getting into the back, making a play, making a stick on a play that the Rebels had used on 3rd and 6 earlier in this drive to get about 7-8 yards this time for loss of one.
And it's going to be 3rd and 11 for the South Burlington Rebels with the ball in the Tigers 22. DeMag in the backfield. He's dropping back, looking downfield. It's up in the air. It got knocked up by a Tiger. Nothing there. It looked like it was Andrew Gleason knocking that ball up in the air. There was a chance for Nemo and a few others to get to it. It's going to be 4th and 11 for the South Burlington Rebels. Keep it Tiger territory. Trailing by 7-0, but they have a lot of yards to make up.
And that's a great push there from the defensive line of Middlebury. You get into the backfield, you force DeMag to get the ball out a little bit quicker than you want. That was not a play set up for quick in and out of his hands. That was a play more designed to get the ball downfield, and you don't allow him to take the time to see who's open.
And there's a bit of space out there. Okay, Tigers move. There was an open receiver on the left side. Totally covered. The ball's on the ground. When it came out from the center, it dribbled off DeMag's hand. DeMag had to jump on top of it. I think he did, but that's going to go over to the Tigers. They're going to take over on their own 26.
And you mentioned there was a lot of it. It was Ali Abdul-Sader one against two wide receivers. DeMag's got to do a little bit better job. You got to snap that ball right there. You got to get the ball into your hands so you can take advantage of that two-on-one mismatch that you have. And instead, a bad snap. It looked like it may have hit off the center's leg or maybe his backside. And now the Tigers have some momentum, a little bit of confidence, and a great stop there on 4th down.
Yeah, if you threw the combination of a slant and some sort of post there, you could have had some business for sure. And the Tigers now, Gordon under center with his three running backs. He's got Ali Abdul-Sader going to motion. This time it's Gordon keeping it to himself. As you know, there's a big space for Ali Gordon across the 40, 45, 50, 45, 40, 75, dragged out of bounds at the 32, and a flag's coming in late. I think that's going to be a face pass. What a run by Ali Gordon, 45 yards for Oakley.
And this is what we talked about. This should be, like you said, a face mask, maybe a horse collar tackle, but regardless, it's going to be 15. It's going to be a face mask. But this is Middlebury being more athletic. A great job on the read. Gets Corlin Fisher to bring in the defensive end. Again, I think that was Ian Bullis on the defensive side of the ball. And then just speed to the outside. This is not a nearly as athletic defense as Middlebury's offense is for the Rebels. They're going to be able to get to the edge a lot quicker and have a lot of success. We saw that really almost at every play of the first drive. Now on the second drive again, that's a long run and a very big run, and now the Tigers certainly are in a very great position at the 15-yard line going in, an opportunity to really start trying to put the foot on the throat of the Rebels here early in the first half.
45 yards of penalties for South Burlington in 6 penalties. The Tigers now leading 7-0 with 7:20 left to go on the first half board. Oakley Gordon takes the snap, hands it out to Ali Abdul-Sader. Going through arms, breaking some tackles, running down to the 6 of the Tigers. Strong running there by Ali
Ali gets about 9 yards.
And that was a great push by the offensive line. And like we said, again and again, they're going to be outweighed right now in this game, but that's not going to stop them. Does a great job. Ali Abdelkader doesn't even get hit until he's about 3-4 yards downfield. And with his speed, he's going to run through an arm tackle at that point of the field. Great job right now by this offensive line creating holes inside and out.
Oakley Gordon, that's Nick Cole on the far left. It's a wide receiver. He's got Trey Coffey going in motion. It's a swing over to Coffey. He's got one man to beat, which he does. Coffey going for the corner. He's going to lock in on top. Nice job. 6 yard touchdown run by Trey Coffey.
And that was a great sidestep there from Trey Coffey. Does a fantastic job. Now, he's the 2-on-1. The first man that comes at him ends up getting blocked. But then Trey Coffey has a little phase. He gives a sidestep to the inside for cutting it back out to the left and going in untouched. We're seeing that carryover that we talked about in the pregame from the Colchester game in his big fourth quarter. That confidence is still in Trey Coffey. That's a fantastic run. Puts the Tigers up now by 2 scores.
And a run set up by the nice carry there by Oakley Gordon with his first rush of the night for 45 yards. And now it's Gordon in to try the point after. The snap is up. The kick is up. And the kick is good. And it's the Middlebury Tigers beating the South Burlington Rebels 14-0 on homecoming night. You're listening to Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Offering the finest furniture, housewares, home accessories, lighting, and bedding, Woodware is a family-owned business located just south of Middlebury on Route 7. Their family provides friendly, knowledgeable, no-pressure assistance in a laid-back atmosphere with name brands you know for quality. When you call or stop in, you're dealing with one of the owners, so you're in good hands at Woodware. Their top-quality furnishings and other items for your home are backed by a customer's always-right guaranteed. Plus, they deliver anywhere in Vermont and provide white-glove delivery service anywhere in the country. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
I'm staying home tonight so I can get all the pants from my room and bring them with me to school.
And we're back here. Middlebury Tigers headed out. Oakley Gordon going out to kick it down to South Burlington. And the Middlebury Tigers starting to assert themselves on this game 14-0. So far, when the Tigers have had the ball, there hasn't been much South Burlington can do about it.
There hasn't, and it's just a quick offense right now for the Tigers. This is an offense up front and in the backfield, very fast, very athletic, and that's the advantage they have right now on the offense, defensive side of the ball with the Rebels. I like the Rebels' offensive line, a little bit stronger, a little bit bigger than the defensive front, but on the outside of the ball, Middlebury's had no problems with running the ball.
And Gordon puts it up, and it's a bouncy kick going down. It's going to get picked up by an up man at about the 23, and his foot was down. That was picked up by Robbie Mufana. And South Burlington coming out to have another chance to make something happen against these Middlebury Tigers, trailing by 2 touchdowns.
Tiger football here on 92.1 brought to you by McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years.
And so we'll see whether South Burlington, if nothing else, down by 2 touchdowns, need to put together a drive where they aren't making mistakes. I think one of the first things, Marshall, is just to make sure you don't have people moving when no one's supposed to.
Yeah, true lack of discipline on these first 2 drives for the Rebels. They have to start in this draft. They want to make any type of comeback. It's going to have to start right here. Be more disciplined. Be more aware of the situation and what you're doing and what the play is on. You can't have this many false starts that they've had at this point in the game.
DeMag with his 4 wide receivers and Colby Bear in the backfield. DeMag calls for the shotgun. It's a handoff to Bear up the middle. Got some space. Nice spin move as he hit the first defenders. He's got Tigers piling on. It's not really going to be much of a gain there for Bear. He got the ball so far in the backfield.
It really was. That's a good game tackle there from the Tigers. They don't allow. Barrett does a great job breaking that first tackle on the spin move, like you said, but a great game tackle. They don't allow him to get any further. And what was a decent spin move and it looked like could have been a nice run turns into a 1 yard gain because all of Middlebury is just sitting right there waiting for him as he comes around the corner.
2nd and 9 for South Burlington, trailing by 2 touchdowns, 6:07 left to go in the first half. It is DeMag calling for it. He's dropping back and looking downfield. He's got a man way downfield and tries to put it up. That's going to be intercepted by Andrew Gleason at the 50. Andrew's trying to find some space. He's at the 40. Brought down there to the center at the 37. Andrew Gleason with his first interception of the season and a 12-yard return.
And a fantastic play in the secondary. What we saw in the first 2 drives was a lot of zone defense. A lot of zone sitting back 5, 6, 7, 8 yards off the line of scrimmage. Now the secondary sitting right on the ball playing man coverage. So now DeMag, even if he wants to go to that first look, he can't. So he's forced to throw to DeMag. Underthrows him, and Andrew Gleason playing on the inside. And great coverage. I don't even know if the man was open. Gleason does a fantastic job getting that interception, Middlebury was a big opportunity right here.
Nice growth there by Andrew. You know, it was early the first week he got turned around once, and he heard about it from his friends for a few days after that. Wonderful to see the growth by the young man out there on the field. Oakley Gordon under center. He's got two wide receivers. He's got three running backs. And Gordon's going to loft the high pass for himself. He's got wide open. Nesbitt had a chance at about the seven. There was no one around him, just unable to bring that ball in.
And Chase Messer was getting a little, no one covered it. No one was even on that side of the field. I don't even think Southwestern realized Chase Messer was out there. And he was itching to go from the start. And just a little underthrown there. And he was wide open. A great ball. Just Chase Messer not able to catch up to that one and pull it in. And that's a big opportunity that the Tigers just missed. You get the interception, you got full momentum. A long touchdown strike like that would change this game completely.
Black uniform up against a black sideline on a black night. That could probably be a little bit tough. And it's Ali Abdul-Sayer getting on the right side. Able to break off one man, heads over left. But he gets wrapped up pretty quickly by those big heavies up there in the middle of the defensive line.
And that play, the first drive that the Tigers had, they used the counter, and they were able to get to the outside on the counter. Something that doesn't typically happen. Typically, the counter is set up to cut you back inside. And that was big. That was set up to go inside. That was just a result of Ali Abdul-Sayer used to seeing that edge wide open, so he tries to go to the edge. Unfortunately, doesn't have the speed because the Rebels are making that adjustment up inside. So be patient. Don't let the pass plays make you affect the current play you're on.
Third and nine for the Middlebury Tigers. One wide receiver, three running backs. Trey Kaufman goes in motion from the left to the right. Oakley fakes the man, but then rolls out to his right. He's looking downfield. He threw it a little too low for Sawyer Ryan, who was coming across the middle, and that is going to be fourth down and nine for the Tigers. 4:57 left to go in this quarter. Middlebury Tigers leading by 14-0. But what would assume, Marshall, they're going to go for it here.
Absolutely. And if you don't take advantage here, if you're Middlebury, that's a tough missed opportunity. You get the interception, you get South Brunton right on their heels, and you got a guy wide open on the first play of the drive through the air, and you just miss him. This is an opportunity for Middlebury to start pulling this thing away. Instead, they're finding ways to just kind of let it slip away from them.
And Middlebury Tigers are taking a timeout here.
And Tiger Football brought to you by your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union, Green Street in Virginia.
So for the Middlebury Tigers tonight, Marshall, have you seen anything that kind of fixes some of the issues from last week? More of the same? What do you think so far?
They're not going to the zone quite as much. There's a lot more man coverage, which I like to see. I think in the zone, they were just leaving guys wide open. And Colchester, when they were throwing the ball, and even back to week one down Anthony, when the ball was in the air, it was a lot of underneath plays that the Tigers were getting beat on. And tonight we're seeing man coverage right on the line of scrimmage. So immediately as the wide receivers are coming off the line, they're getting met by a defender, and now those first reads that a lot of quarterbacks have been able to see and take advantage of are open. And that's what the Tigers are doing here, is a lot more man coverage and not giving up. Say, okay, you want 5-6 yards, we'll give it to you, and eventually we'll pull you down. So no, we're not even going to give you anything. And just more discipline in the secondary, not to allow guys behind them as well.
And the Tigers come out. They've got Chase Messer on the right side, playing wide receiver. They've got six men down, and they've got their double wing backfield. And it's Oakley Gordon rolling out, going his right. He's looking for Messer downfield. He puts it up right directly to a defender who gets it knocked out of his hand by Trey Coffin. It's a jump ball. Trey Coffin, the basketball player, did something he's not allowed to do out there on the floor. Just rumbled the man. But South Burlington, and probably good to drop it. South Burlington takes over on downs. They actually gained about 15 yards by dropping that ball.
Yeah, now it's certainly a good hit there from Trey Coffin. But at the same time, you almost want to let that guy catch it. Catch the ball at the 20-yard line rather at the 39. It certainly changes the field for an offense in South Burlington that hasn't had a lot of success moving the ball up and down.
It is hard to know whether the defender just intentionally chucked it down at the ground after he caught it. It looked to me like he was going to bring it in, but either that or it was really good sense on his part to go grab it and then just kind of throw it down and make it so nobody could get at it. So it could have been a good case of defensive back coaching there on the part of the Rebels. And now for South Burlington, there's a little bit of life here. You have a chance. You just stopped the Tigers, and Thomas DeBag has a chance to throw again. Thomas DeBag in the backfield, throwing it over. He's got a man on the right sideline. That is going to be his man number 35, Paul O'Neill, who's going to gain about 4 yards or so.
Again, those first reads are what DeMag is living and dying with. He's seeing it, and he's getting it out. I liked it better when the Tigers went to man. That last possession was zone defense. They allowed O'Neill to get downfield, run his out route, and get open. When the Tigers are in zone, they don't allow that first read to be open. I'd like to see a little bit more of that right now from the Tiger defensive coaching staff.
And it's DeMag with there in the backfield. Is this going to be movement on them again? We'll see. I didn't see any movement on South Burlington's part that time. But from where the official's walking, it may have been.
No, it's going to be a Coachman that gets the Tigers.
And that's a tough break here. The beginning of this game was a factor of South Burlington just being undisciplined. Now if you're Middlebury, you're up by two scores. You got to stay disciplined as well. You got to try to find a way to just be patient and know that South Burlington is proven right now. They're going to shoot themselves before they take advantage of your mistakes.
And South Burlington has a second and very short here, maybe an inch or so. And it's back to the quarterback. He keeps it himself. He runs for a first down with some space on that far sideline. Able to pick up about 4 yards. He gets brought down.
Tiger football here on 92.1 brought to you by Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your true value hardware store.
First down there on the first down run by Thomas DeMag with 4 minutes left to go in the quarter. Tigers leading South Burlington 14-0, but South Burlington now with the ball on the Tigers side of the field. One wide receiver over to the left. Two wide receivers now as the man comes in motion. Two to the right as we've seen all night long. Thomas DeMag and Colby Barrett, the running back, in the backfield. And DeMag is calling for it from a shotgun position. Is able to get it quick out over to the right side. And not much of a hole there. In fact, a little bit of a bobble by the receiver as he brought it in. Complete, but no gain there for O'Neill.
And what this offense does, this quick hitting, quick pass offense does, is it takes a lot of pressure off the offensive line. You're not asking the offensive line now to create a pocket for DeMag and make sure that the Tiger defensive front doesn't get in the backfield. What you're saying is just hold up for half a second. Make sure no one gets a free rush on your quarterback. And so that takes a lot of pressure off the guys up front to just make sure that all you're doing is getting in the way, essentially, not making a stop.
And DeMag gets it. He hands it off to Barrett up the middle. Barrett didn't try to fight his way through, but a nice job there by a combination of Nick Beauchamp and Cortland Fisher coming together and stopping it for only about a two-yard gain up the middle.
And Barrett has tried to do a lot of that zigging and zagging, and that was a great play there. Beauchamp is forcing him inside, and then Cortland Fisher, when Barrett does eventually make that cut inside, is right there, and the two are able to meet him essentially at the same time and prevent him from making any more moves and working the way downfield.
Third and long for the South Burlington Rebels. 2:34 left to go in the first half. Third and about seven. And it's called for by the quarterback. He's going to keep it himself on this left side. Spins away from one man. Busts back in the middle. He's powered through defenders. He's going to be close to that first down. That's a rugged run by Thomas DeMag.
It really was. That's a tough break there. I believe that was Parker Gross who had that first look. It was. Parker Gross coming off the defensive end. Had a shot and a wide open shot at DeMag. And DeMag just does a little bit of a sidestep to get around Parker Gross. But that's a good run. And DeMag is an athletic quarterback who has the capability of when his first read is in there, and typically that's all he's looking for, he has the capability to make a move and get downfield, pick up a really big first down right now for the Rebs.
And it's first down, as you say, 2:06 left to go. They are in the Tiger, 37. DeMag with three wide receivers to the right, one to the left, and a man in the backfield. DeMag looks out to his right side, decides to not take his first receiver, and continues to look downfield, cuts upfield, gets a nice block, and able to gain about 4 yards there after a nice block over on the far sideline by number, well, they thought it was 71, maybe it was 70, Isaac Jenkins over on that far sideline.
And again, this offensive line isn't asked to do a lot of blocking long term. In that play, it was a breakdown up front, and it was broken down so quickly. Parker Gross was almost untouched into the backfield, forcing DeMag out of the pocket. And although, like we said, this offensive line isn't predicated to make the pocket, it still has to do a little bit to slow him down, because when they don't, DeMag's forced to scramble and forced to try to make moves on his feet.
DeMag with two receivers to the left, two to the right, and his running back. He holds it himself again. This time, tried to power through people, but really unable to. It is Bruce Wright and Nick Beauchamp coming together on that tackle for the Middlebury Tigers.
And that was supposed to be a screen pass out here to Nick Kaminsky. But Parker Gross, again, this is the third straight play. He's found his way into the backfield almost any time he's wanted to, especially on this defensive series. Gets into the backfield and shuts off that lane. His hands are up, and he's making sure if the Mag wants to throw it, he's literally going to have to throw it through Parker Gross, and there's no opportunity, obviously, for that. Great play now for this defensive line. Just as we said, this offensive line, all I had to do was just slow them down from getting the backfield. They're not getting slowed down, and they're getting in untouched.
And it's a timeout call by South Burlington. They want to talk it over. It's going to be third and long again, third and seven for the Rebels. There's only 38 seconds left on the clock in the first half. They surely need to get some points on the board here, trailing 14-0 against the Middlebury Tigers.
And this has been a good defensive second quarter in particular now for Middlebury. You look at that opening drive for Sussman, a lot of success. And really the only reason they didn't score was those three consecutive false starts. Now you come out here and you're the Tigers. You say, okay, we're going to make some adjustments in the second half. We're going to play a little bit more man and take away those first looks. That's what they're doing here on this drive. It's not purely man, but now it's the offensive line having some struggles with the Tiger defensive front getting into the backfield and causing some havoc immediately after the snap.
And it's Thomas DeMagg in the shotgun position. He drops back. He's looking downfield. He's got a man open for not a huge gain. And he's quickly swallowed up by a gang of Tigers. Chase Mesna and Ali Abdul-Sader, Cortland Fisher, all on the tackle as a gain of maybe four for the receiver, number 10, Nick Leshinsky.
And that's going to come up about fourth and two. But again, although that Leshinsky gets tackled almost immediately, it was after him getting wide open on a little curl.
And it's the bag again, dropping back. He's got not a lot of space. He's got some space to run. He's over on the left side, sheds the tackle, gets out of bounds at about the 16. Thomas DeMagg, nifty run there for the quarterback.
And this is DeMagg. He's not a panic move, but when he doesn't have his man open, his first look is a scramble. And right now he's out of line of success. Middlebury's firing so quickly right now off the defensive line and getting into the backfield that they almost over-pursue, and everything underneath is left wide open for DeMagg to make a scramble and make a pretty big gain, especially on a big fourth down.
And Thomas DeMagg now with a chance to do something, but only 13 seconds left. First to 10 for the Rebels. DeMagg in the backfield. He's got three over to the right. He's looking back, and he's got a man open in the end zone, but it's knocked away. Nice defense by Oakley Gordon, able to rise up above Paul O'Neill and knock it away. That's one attempt down for the Rebels. They've got maybe time for one more. Well, they have time for one more. 6 seconds left.
And I don't know if that's the man that DeMagg wanted to go to in the corner. Pretty well covered, but he's forced to throw that ball quickly because who else? Parker Gross is back in the backfield, making a big play and getting in there and forcing DeMagg to do something with the ball well before he wants to. So now you bring up a second down, and really the last play, the potential half here with 6 seconds left.
And so it's Thomas DeMagg looking back, 6 seconds left. And he rolls back. He's got a man in the end zone, in and out of his hands. He was wide up across the middle. Spencer Gruel had a chance there, and the Rebels are going to have a chance, actually. It's going to be 3rd and 10. They've got about 1 second to go. They're going to have one last throw here, Marshall, to try to put something on the board. That was a good opportunity.
It was. That's a tough break. This is an offense that you need as much as you can get here, down by 2 scores to the Tigers. You need something here. I expect maybe something to the middle of the field again. That's where they got the wide receiver wide open there, Gruel. Maybe something that's similar. You got his trips to the right side.
And he's back to back, looking downfield. He's going to loft it up high. See what he can get. Oh, and in and out of the hands right there. Colby Barrett had a chance. It bounced off his knee. And that is it. Going into halftime, Middlebury Tigers 14, South Burlington Rebels nothing. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
The Army Reserve has more than 120 unique career opportunities, so you can add to your current strengths or build brand new ones. Join the Army Reserve. You'll make a difference in your life and the lives of others. Learn more at goarmy.com/reserve.
For more information, call your local recruiter at 802-775-2518 or visit goarmy.com/CE16.
They're strong. And then there's Army Strong. Paid for by the United States Army.
Della Motorsports celebrates victory motorcycles with high performance.
Exhilarating experiences every week in the month of September.
Visit Della Motorsports to learn more and get up to a $1,400 rebate on off-road vehicles. Up to $2,000 rebate on Victory and a 5-year factory warranty on all remaining in-stock 2015 models with rates as low as 2.99%.
Certain restrictions and exclusions apply. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet. Never ride under the influence.
Della Motorsports, 7 Della Drive, Plattsburgh.
DellaMotorsports.com.
Dot net.
Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. Our dry cleaning department is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to 3 on Saturday for all your dry cleaning needs. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk grade dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Use our drop-off locations at Linda's Apparel in Vergence and the Enchanted Closet in Bristol. Desabray on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
Monument Farms Dairy in Wadebridge has been providing fresh milk for four generations. They grow their own feed, raise their own cows, process their own milk, and distribute their own product. For the freshest milk you can find locally, make it Monument Farms Milk. 100% Vermont milk for 100% Vermonters. Drink only the best from Monument Farms in Wadebridge.
If it's Tiger football, it's on WVTK, Port Henry, Ticonderoga, Middlebury. 92.1 WVTK. This is Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
And it's the Mike Spiegel halftime show here on 92.1 WVTK. You're listening to week 5 of Middlebury Tigers football as the Middlebury Tigers take on the Rebels of South Burlington. At halftime, the Middlebury Tigers lead the Rebels by a score of 14-0. And with a breakdown of how we got there, Marshall Hastings.
Tigers not going here in the first quarter late. In the first quarter, 2:12 left. Oakley Gordon has chased Messner from 19 yards out to put the Tigers up 7. That was set up by 37 yards on the ground from Ali Abdul-Sader. As the Tigers had a lot of success, a lot of counter looks, a lot of inside runs, really kept this South Burlington defense off balance. Then into the second quarter we go. Tigers punch it in from 6 yards out. Trey Kaufman from 6 yards. That's his fourth touchdown in the last two games, including those three touchdown fourth quarter performance in the comeback win over Colchester. That was set up by a 45-yard run from Oakley Gordon. Tacked on a 15-yard face mask penalty against South Burlington, putting the Tigers up 14-0. That's where we stand right now at the half.
And we have a special guest who's going to join us. He's so kind to join us here at halftime. We've got Austin Danforth from the Burlington Free Press. First of all, Austin, thanks for joining on and welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great. This is great.
Very cool. Very fun for us. And it's always great to have people. You guys have always been, just to note, you guys have always been wonderfully supportive of us, including last year being incredibly kind about your space at the state championship game and everything else.
Always.
It's a relationship that we appreciate.
Yeah, it's a two-way street. You guys help us out a lot. And it's my first trip down to Middlebury this fall, so it's good to be back.
Great. Well, you bought a jacket, so you're a wise man.
Yep.
So, first of all, impressions, we'll start locally with the game here, and then maybe we'll spread out as we go. So, first of all, your impressions of the game tonight?
The one thing that stood out to me, South Burlington likes to spread the ball around. They try and spread you out. And Middlebury's open field tackling, sort of gang tackling, has been superb. Just when it looks like the Rebels might be able to turn the corner, turn 2 yards into 8 yards, 10 yards, 15 yards, Middlebury's there with not just one guy, but two and three guys. And that's a big reason why I think the Rebels haven't gotten on the scoreboard yet. First impressions in person compared to the Middlebury football we've seen the last couple of years. Not quite as explosive, but I think everybody here knows that by now. But still, very sound football team. I mean, they're not going to beat themselves to give you a chance. And I think that's really impressive and a testament to what they do, you know, year in, year out, week in, week out.
And talking about the South Burlington Rebels a little bit and what we've seen so far tonight, you know, so often I say in Vermont, you don't have a lot of teams that have all three phases totally developed. South Burlington's a team that the offensive phase really has some good things going out there. You know, what's been their story so far this year?
Yeah, winless at this point. And it's one of those things, they've graduated a lot of talent the last couple of years, 2 years ago specifically.
Oh, they were crazy.
The team that met Middlebury in the final. Since then, last year was a bit of a lean year. This year, it seems like defense has been the biggest issue for them. Teams are just able to pour on points. And at times, they can move the ball well themselves, but like we've seen tonight. You get some untimely penalties that sort of pile up and move you back down the field, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're driving and you stall, and then the other team's going the other way.
So maybe it's even a growing process here.
I think so,
yeah, definitely. And we're joined by Austin Danforth from the Burlington Free Press, who's being kind enough to join us here. So we're moving out a little bit from this. We've got some out-of-town things, so we'll look forward to that. And other stories you've been watching about high school football so far this year, big things that have been standing out to you.
Yeah, I found Division II to be super fascinating this year. You have Vernon Burton, a team that sort of seems to have taken the vacant place that three-time defending champion Rice has held, because Rice is now in Division I. Vernon Burton, they've been slowly building the program. They went about 30 years without football, brought it back around the year 2000, and this is the third year for their quarterback, Griff Stahlcup. His brother, Jake Stahlcup, is on the quarterback.
Sleeping. It's Friday night. He's somewhere over there.
Yeah, he's actually probably watching his brother's game on NSN Sports or something.
There you go.
They're a fascinating team, very explosive. I think they're up 40-something to nothing over North Country right now, up in the Kingdom. And beyond that, I think there's other good teams in Division II. Fairhaven's a team that brought back maybe one of the best quarterbacks in the state and the best wide receiver. You have Burlington that sort of improved, having dropped to Division II and sort of matured as well. And then you have Bells Falls. They're 4-0 as well at this point, like Vernon Burton. Seems like they could be on a collision course here in the regular season, potentially down the road, too. So Division II is super interesting.
You know, it's funny because Vernon Burton does really well those things that really can expose Middlebury. You know, and it's kind of funny that they will never see each other. And I think that's a game that people, at least in my mind, as somebody who maybe pays more attention to all those levels than some of the folks in the crowd, that's a game I wish I could see in some imaginary world.
Yeah, and I used to cover Vernon Burton pretty closely when I worked down at the Bennington Banner. Their coach there, Jason Thomas, he's sort of off the UNH coaching tree that started with Chip Kelly, who was the offensive coordinator, now the Eagles head coach.
Sure.
He worked under him with Dave Ball and Ricky Santos, who were a record-setting duo about 10 years ago. And so BBA does, that sort of up-tempo, sprint out, go zooming down the field, brand of football, and it is pretty exciting. And when it works, it's unlike anything a lot of teams will see in the state, Middlebury specifically.
Sure.
It also has flaws like any system, which may have cost BBA in recent years, but it looks like everything's clicking for them right now.
I think that was a few years ago when Middlebury was still in Division II. They ran into Rice in the final game, and it was Christian McCormick, and Rice just had a different offense, kind of like that, and Middlebury just didn't stand a chance. It was a rough game.
Funny how things go in cycles. Christian McCormick, now on the quarterback depth chart at UNH.
Oh, how about that? Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah. That's quite good for him. He's as talented a quarterback as I've seen around in a while.
He's great arm. That kid. He's just an all-around three-sport athlete, great athlete for Rice.
Great. Well, stick with us here for a minute if you're willing to. We're going to step aside for a minute. We're going to come back with a few more questions from Austin. It's Middlebury Tiger Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Addison County Commission Sales is a locally owned and operated livestock auction service. The Wisnowski family has been serving Addison County farmers and surrounding area for over 65 years. Livestock sales are held every Monday and Thursday, starting at 3 p.m. Livestock trucking, free herd appraisals, and dairy replacement are also available upon request. Addison County Commission Sales. Visit them on Route 125 in East Middlebury. For more details, go to accscattle.com.
The Army Reserve has more than 120 career opportunities, so you can add to your current strengths or build brand new ones. Join the Army Reserve and you will make a difference in your life and the lives of others. Learn more at goarmy.com/reserve.
For more information, call your local recruiter at 802-775-2518 or visit goarmy.com/CE16.
They're strong, and then there's Army Strong. Paid for by the United States Army.
Houston's Farm Supply and Bridport carries the high-pressure cleaning equipment that gets the job done right. Let them show you the Hotzi hot and cold pressure washers, available in electrical, all voltages, and gas or diesel propane. Houston's Farm Supply is a full-service dealer carrying all parts and accessories, plus a full line of detergents from 5-gallon pails to 55-gallon drums. When it comes to high-power pressure washers, you'll find the best, Hotzi, at Houston's Farm Supply on the Crown Point Road in Bridport.
Sometimes
Sometimes in life, you just need a hand. Not because you fail, because we've all been there once or twice. It's because you want to make the right decision, to move forward, to make a change. Hello, everybody. This is Alan Buzz Busby from Poulin Auto Sales and Service. And it's our mission to lend a hand, to help you move forward and make that change. Just a few months ago, Holly of Milton came to us and asked us to help her out. She'd been to several of the dealers without success. She was a mother who needed a safe, reliable car, and no one would give her a chance. So we did. We work with several lending agencies like Consumer Credit that will work with you, no matter your situation. So buy your next pre-owned car or truck from Poulin Auto Sales on Shelburne Road or Eastbury Road in Barrie. Change really is good, isn't it? See the video of Holly getting into her new car at PoulinAutoSales.com. Poulin Auto Sales and Service, changing the way you feel about buying a car.
Now back to the field for more Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
And back at the Mike's Fuels Halftime Show. Tiger football is brought to you by Mike's Fuels in Bridport, serving Addison County and parts of Rutland County, and are always rooting for the Tigers. Mike's Fuels is your complete fuel dealer with a full line of fuels, including propane, off-road and on-road, gasoline, diesel, and fuel oil. Mike's Fuels also offers 24/7 emergency burner service. When it's time for fuel, call them at 758-3835 or 247-9500. Mike's Fuels, Route 22A in Bridport. As we roll along, we're still joined by Austin Danforth. Very kind of him to join us. And a few more questions before we let you go and maybe find some food here. And you got to survive on more than no-bake cookies. One more question about football, and then I'm going to open it up a little bit to just Vermont, fall sports in general, and anywhere you want to go with it. The Rice Green Knights. Rice is always a fascinating team for people in this area, whether it's basketball. You know, people get up in arms sometimes about Rice. I know that happens in the Burlington area. But there was some question about, boy, you know, how can they complain about going up to Division One? You know they're going to go up to Division One, and then they've come up, and they have struggled a little bit, I think you'd say. And, you know, is that an indication of where Rice, I mean, and I know we're getting into trouble. Everybody ever put you on the spot a little bit. Is that an indication that maybe they, should, you know, they were a Division II team, or is that an indication that maybe it's just them resetting and they'll be okay?
There's a lot of things with that issue. I think this year they probably weren't equipped to be able to make the move and be successful. They lost their 1-2 punch from the last 2 years that led them to the last two championships, along with some pretty seasoned other guys. Size that you can't always replicate, and sure. You know will be there the next year, and that you definitely need Division One. But you bring it back, and they could have been in the same boat 2 years ago. They stayed in Division Two after winning the championship, and the guys that stepped up into those voids that they had 2 years ago, they became the best players in the division. And it's like, you can't know that from not, like, I mean, Rice may not have known that themselves.
Sure.
How good those two guys, Chris Jansen and Anthony Phillip, would be. But when you look at it like you're the rest of the division, they might look at it and be like, well, you guys are just hiding players. Like, how do we know?
Right.
Rice has a way of attracting athletes.
Sure.
Because whether it's the prep hockey program or it's a sort of a next level college preparatory school, And they're Division One in almost everything else. It sort of makes sense that they could be Division One in football too. This year, they were sort of in a no-win situation after appealing multiple times. If they were successful this year, it would have looked like they were just trying to and beat people up. If they were unsuccessful, yeah, they lost, and that's. It doesn't make anybody feel better. It might hurt the program. These are things you don't know until years down the road.
Sure.
I'd like to think that maybe if they made the move a year ago or 2 years ago, they might have been a little more competitive. They might have been middle of the pack, maybe even ahead of the pack.
Yeah.
But it sounds like with the personnel they have, they're more of like a 2- or 3-quarter Division One football team than a 4-quarter Division One football team. And that, they're not the only Division One team like that.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, they're with a lot of a big pack there.
Right, and you look at the rest of Division Two, and these are teams that have gotten beaten by them year in, year out for a few years, and they think, you know, maybe it's our time to, you know, have a shot. Like, it's not necessarily fair that this school that operates on a different level in other sports is at our level in our sport.
Sure. So one last question before we let you go. Other things you're watching in fall sports in Vermont, other things that are of interest to you as you go around your rounds?
Yeah. My primary beat for high school sports is girls soccer in the fall. Biggest news there this year, Champlain Valley, the perennial powerhouse in Division One,
actually lost.
They actually lost. They've won the last four Division One state championships. They hadn't lost since the middle of the 2012 season. Over 50 games unbeaten, 48 wins in a row. They lost to Burton Burton down in Manchester a couple weeks back. And I thought that was more of a I thought that was a bit of a toss up because Burton Burton's very quality. They have a couple kids that could be Division One caliber soccer players down the road. And the weird, you get a team on a bus trip, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. You never know what's going to happen with high school kids. And I think CBU gave a CBU-like performance. They just came up a goal short. Their finishing wasn't there, and Burton Burton played well enough to beat them. They play 10 times. CBU might get the advantage. Maybe it's 50-50. But it's interesting to know and fun to see that the best team that everybody looks at is sort of like on a pedestal is Mortal after all.
Sure.
And
good lesson for other programs as well, probably.
Absolutely.
I lost ever. Thank you very, very much. I actually thought of four more questions I'd like to ask you, but we probably need to keep going along here. Actually, let me ask you one more.
Okay.
And this is one that, and maybe you follow this, maybe you don't. There were questions last year. There were issues about, you know, different soccer clubs, and we'll just name them soccer clubs, that were individual, you know, club teams that were having their players not play on their high school team. And that became a bit of a thing.
Yep.
This year, I haven't heard as much about it. It hasn't been as much of a topic. Any reason for that? Anything from your perspective?
I've heard a few instances where kids have gone back from, like, where last year they didn't play in their high school team to play on their club team more or less year-round, 11 months out of the year. I've heard of a few instances where kids have gone back to their high school programs. I don't think it's something that we can keep dragging up every year. It's either going to play itself out or it's not. Personally, I don't know that playing with your club team two more months out of the year is going to be that beneficial for you. I know a lot of high school coaches or college coaches, well, they value the club experience. They like to see flexibility in players, that they can not just play their club system but their high school system and do different things, compete with different calibers of players. So it's definitely a thorny issue in the soccer world, but I think one way or another, what is like going to be the most popular route will play itself out. So
great. People all probably say, let's get back to that football. But hey, it's not every day we get somebody like you in here. We get to talk to you. So appreciate it very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Good to be here.
Absolutely. So I'll throw it back over to Marshall here for a minute. And I have a question actually I want to get to you. And the reason I brought you back on here, Marshall, now I'll interview you a little bit here. And as we wait here for the second half to begin. So Marshall, actually, we'll save the questions about Wayne just so people at home know. We saw a couple things here during halftime. The class of 1965 came out on the field, and they were honored, as well as Wayne Smith, a legend in these parts, a classic of voice in these parts, and the voice, really, of Tigers football in that way. He ended up being tried in the MHS/MUHS Hall of Fame tonight. And we're going to talk a little bit in the second half when we have some spots about about him. And you somebody got to know him, has gotten to know him over the years. And he's certainly quite a character. You've ridden many miles with him in a variety of ways. So we'll get a little perspective on that. We're going to step aside in the Mike School Halftime Show, and we'll come right back. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
Offering the finest furniture, housewares, home accessories, lighting, and bedding, Woodware is a family-owned business located just south of Middlebury on Route 7. Their family provides friendly, knowledgeable, no-pressure assistance in a laid-back atmosphere with name brands you know for quality. When you call or stop in, you're dealing with one of the owners, so you're in good hands at Woodware. Their top-quality furnishings and other items for your home are backed by a customer's always-right guaranteed. Plus, they deliver anywhere in Vermont and provide white-glove delivery service anywhere in the country. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury.
This is Middlebury Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
And it's the start of the third quarter here. Doc College Field in Middlebury, Vermont. The Middlebury Tigers are looking to take the ball here to start the second half, leading by a score of 14-0. Marshall reminded me, as much as we're going to talk about Lane, he's also related to Lane, of course, so we may not get an unbiased opinion. Not that we have unbiased opinions anyway, because he is a treasure around here, but we will get to that. All right, the South Rowan Rebels ready to tee it up here and send it down to the Tigers, where there's Oakley Gordon and Chase Messer waiting. Instead, they kind of scrimp Jeff off the middle of the field, and that is brought in very quickly by Parker Gross. Tigers going to start out with great field position here, Marshall.
And they are. And Tiger Football here brought to you real quick, Mike's Auto and Towing, for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike's Auto online at mikesautomid.com. That's Mike's Auto, MIDD.com. And the Tigers, like you said, good field position for an offense that was very successful in the first half. Hopefully they can take advantage, only having to go about 56 yards now to get payday.
And Marshall, as they set up here, I'm a little stupefied. It sounds really to think that they were going to end up with the ball off that onside kick, you think?
I think so. I think that you're trying to get that a little bit closer. You don't want to let that go quite as much. Maybe a little more horizontal type of kick rather than so vertical down.
Oakley Gordon under center. He's got Trey Coffin in motion. As Marshall Coffin takes it in a big hole right up the middle. That's a quick 10-yard gain by the Middlebury Tiger running back to start this third quarter.
And what we saw in the first half is it coming to fruition here in the second half. This is a great offensive line production for the Tigers. They've done a fantastic job getting a good push. And Coffin does a great job. We saw it again from the fourth quarter carryover. He's run the ball very hard, not slowing down, not gliding, so to speak. And had a great run to get the first down here and get this drive going.
Gordon coming in. He's got his double wings, and he's calling it out. He's under center. He has it quickly up to Corwin Fisher, who takes it between the guard and the tackle and moves his forward for about 4 yards on that right side.
And one thing we're seeing from Corwin Fisher, he didn't really have a lot of success on the ground last week against Colchester. He couldn't break a lot of arm tackles, and that's more of a compliment to the Colchester Lakers than it is to factor against Corlin Fisher. A great defensive performance last week from Colchester, not so much this week.
And the Tigers looking at the second and about five here, as it's going to go to Ali Abdul-Sader, who's going from left to right. He's got some space on that right side, exploding through it, getting up to the first down marker right about, before he's dropped down by a gang of Rebels, including Noah Show.
And that's one thing we've seen a lot of on that counterplay. It's designed normally to get the running back inside with a leading lineman. It's gone a lot to the outside. It's bounced out quite a bit. And the thing is that South Front hasn't been quick enough to catch up to Ali Abdul-Sader and Trey Coffin when they do bounce it out.
And it's Oakley under center again. This time he has Trey coming in motion from the right to left, but it's going to go up the middle. Big hole there for Fisher. Huge gap opened up by the left side of that offensive line, and he's got a first down for the Tigers.
And that's a fantastic read from Oakley Gordon. The defensive end there was almost a little bit far enough outside that Oakley Gordon probably could have gotten away with keeping it and running around him, but a much bigger hole inside for Corlin Fisher, and it's a great give. And Corlin Fisher just gassing right now through this Rebel defense.
And from the 22 about of the Rebels, Tigers moving it, and this time it's to Trey Coffin going to that left side that he runs. He steps it through the line as he did last week. He is dropped down at about the 11, though. Quick boost, about a 9 yard or so gain by Trey Coffin.
And that might have been an instance where I might have liked to see Trey Coffin bounce that out a little bit. He tried to split. That would have been Bruce Ray and Chris Greer on the pull, and I would have liked to see him cut that in. He tried to cut between the two of them. I would like to see him bounce that outside of Bruce Ray, where there was a lot more room to run and allow Chris Greer a little bit more time to get to the defender.
Good job by those right side offensive line, able to get over on the left as they pull. And it's Ali in motion. It's a head out to Ali Abdul-Sader. Taking the right. Is it hole on the right side? Power it up. Getting to about the four. Tigers just keep moving down the field.
They're gashing right through them. There hasn't been a lot of slow movement throughout this game. And this offensive line just continues to get a big push. We talked about them being underweighted, I guess, so to speak, on the offensive line. That's not slowing them down because they have the quickness. They can get to the right position on the defensive lineman to make sure the hole is still there.
Middlebury Tigers setting up second and third from the four. Up by two touchdowns. And it's Oakley Gordon gets it to Ali Abdul-Sader. Try that right side again. He's open and free as he goes into the end zone. That is a 4-yard touchdown run for Ali Abdul-Sader.
That's a great job. They do the counter once again. They clear it out. This time the counter does go inside as the Rebels try to make sure that they don't get beat to the edge. But Ali Abdul-Sader does a great job. Sees where the hole is. Sees that the offensive lineman has set up a nice crease for him to cut up inside. Plays his foot, gets north. And that's a great drive. You take about a minute and a half off the clock of very effective running. They didn't really have any runs that went for much less than 5-6 yards. they are gashing this defense right now, and if I'm South Burlington, starting to get a little worried on the defensive side of the ball.
Oakley Gordon is back. He gets it, and he gets the kick up right down the middle. Can't ask him for it better than that. It's going to be 21-0 Middlebury Tigers over the South Burlington Rebels. You are listening to Middlebury Tiger Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Does your car need a repair? Do you need a tow or maybe just general maintenance? I'm Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. Here at Mike's, we do it all. We tow cars, we fix cars, we sell cars. We have storage and U-Haul, we have master ASC certified techs, and we guarantee all of our work. So if your car or truck vibrates, rattles, whines, knocks, or just plain leaks, give us a call or hit us online at mikesautomid.com. You can even like us on Facebook. And remember, if we can't fix it, it ain't broke.
Now back to Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
All right, we're back. Tigers take a 21-0 lead here. And nothing is always good to have some visitors in the press box, Marshall. We're enjoying it tonight.
Absolutely. Good. It's nice to see Mom. I mean, you don't see her for a couple of weeks. It's good to see Mom every now and again.
Why not? Absolutely. All right. So Tigers ready to kick it off here. And now getting up to, I would say, probably in some ways the most comfortable spot we've been in all year.
Oh, absolutely. And product of a fantastic offensive production. And that starts from the offensive line, 100%. You can give the credit and the arts to the backs, but this offensive line has been fantastic tonight.
And Oakley Gordon getting ready to kick it off to the Rebels, who are going to try to look to put something together here. They've got some offensive yards, but haven't gotten any points. And it's picked up at about the 10, and reversing field. He gets to the middle. He's trying to make some space. All it really allows is for the defense to converge on him. That's maybe a 2-yard return in the middle of the field for
Rebels ball.
Noah Joe. It's going to be the Rebels ball, first and 10 on the 18-yard line. Rebels trailing by a score of 21-0, 9:27 left to go in the third quarter.
High School Football brought to you by LeBurge Insurance for all your insurance needs on Washington Street in Middlebury.
And as the Rebels get ready to go out here, they've got their standard setup that we've seen all night. Not a lot, just like Middlebury, not a lot of variation on the part of the South Burlington Rebels. They've got the quarterback, four receivers, and the running back. And the quarterback's looking downfield, rolling over to his left, calling somebody to come open. He has a chance, and he's got him right in the middle of the field. He's wide open. It's the 40, the 35, the 30. Can run down by Oakley Gordon at the 20. What a great pickup for Nicholas Shinsky. That was a pickup of about 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, about 60 yards, Marshall.
It was. That's just a great play from the quarterback there for South Burlington. That's just DeMage making a play, knowing that he tries to scramble again. We'll see. First read is open. Tries to scramble downfield. Instead, throws it deep, gets the play, and now South Burlington with a little bit of confidence.
And so there they are now on the 20. They flip the field. He's dropping back, looking to pass again. No, what a terrible decision. He had two wide receivers wide open. It was a good throw by Thomas DeMag, but he was going for one man, and Colby Bennett was in the way. Bennett put his hands up and knocked the ball down. It looked like it was supposed to go to Nick Leshinsky. That would have been an easy catch there for Leshinsky in the middle of the field, but Bennett kind of knocked it down. So that was no good for the Rebels. They're going to be looking at 2nd and 10.
And now, if you're South Burlington, you get some momentum, you make a big play. Unfortunately, you can't outrun Oakley Gordon there on the edge. But now you got a big opportunity, a little bit of confidence on that sideline. And this is an offense that has moved the ball well. It's not that they've been stagnant. They just kind of push themselves back whenever they've gotten to this point of the field.
And it's 5 wide receivers here, and it's going to be kept by the quarterback. And he's getting stuffed out. That's no gain there for Thomas DeMag. Brought down by a gang of Tigers, including, it looks like, Jerry Nemo and Bruce Wright. Bruce has popped up a lot in this game tonight.
Bruce Wright has done a great job both sides of the ball. That's a fantastic job to make sure that DeMag doesn't have anything once that the read goes and he wants to go up inside. But one thing you have noticed is that when South Burlington gets the ball to this time of the field, they start going away from that quick-hitting passing attack that they had success. They've had success not on this drive because of the long play. Really, throughout the game, they used those 6-, 7-, 8-yard receptions. Now they're trying to almost hit it all at once or hit it none at all. And I don't like how they're kind of shaking away from what has been successful.
And Thomas Tomac with no running back in the backfield. The one thing that was successful, Colby Barrett can move with the ball. That's not a shot to Barrett on the left side, a little swing pass, but they have no gain. That's going to be snuffed out. It's going to be fourth and about 10. That was a gain of two. River Payne on the tackle for the Middlebury Tigers.
And that was a great job there to come out, make the play, move back into coverage, and then come up and make the stick there. You play a little zone defense. You got a three-man rush. You drop your defensive ends into coverage. Great play to come up. Make sure that you see the guy, see where it's coming, and know the screen pass is coming back at you to make the play.
All right, that is 25 attempts now for Thomas DeMag. That's unusual for a Vermont High School quarterback, for sure. And DeMag has some ability, for sure. There has been some glimpses, as Austin mentioned. There are some pieces here on the South Burlington team. Haven't quite come together. It's DeMag in the shotgun. He's dropping back. He's looking downfield. He's throwing in. He's got a man open. But coming in, Jerry Nemo, who had an interception last week, coming in and knocking that away. That's going to be a turnover going to the Middlebury Tigers. They're going to get the ball on their own 20.
And that's a great job. Bend, don't break type of play. You give up the big 62-yarder, but you don't let that define the drive. You said, okay, you want 62. Now you got to get the last 20. You got this much. You got a big chunk in one play. Can you finish it? They can't. That's a great job from the secondary. We saw a lot of open holes in the secondary in the opening drive for South Burlington, and nothing since that. Very good adjustments on the Middlebury sideline.
Jerry Nemo has two interceptions so far in the season. That was a nice knockdown on his part to give the Tigers the ball. And it's Oakley Gordon under center with Trey Kopp in motion. It goes to Trey right up the middle, and he finds that gap. He's able to gain about 6 yards or so before he's corralled by a gang of Rebels.
And we'll see. This is starting to wear down, this big, hefty defensive and offensive line for South Burlington. Eventually, these quick plays and these long drives are going to start coming to them, and I think that we're going to see this throughout the second half. The first half was a little bit of Middlebury just not executing all the time. If they can execute and put together a long drive, these drives are going to get a little bit easier as this defense tires out.
It's second down and two for the Tigers. The ball on their own 28. 6:50 left to go in the third quarter, leading 21-0. It's Oakley Gordon keeping it for himself as he rolls to the left side, finds a nice hole, opened up by his first down, and that's going to be a 12-yard gain for Oakley Gordon, finding some open space on the left side.
That's a really fantastic run. You go with a little QB bootleg, so you're going to pull the play side and the backside guard. You're going to send the fullback out to block as well. And they all do a great job. You make sure that you get Oakley going first off. The primary focus is the first half. That was only 2 yards to get. You get to the edge. You make sure with big heavies coming around the corner. If you're a quarterback, I know I'm terrified to see Nick Folkship come at me. And they're just able to clear out a big lane for him.
And with two tight ends and three running backs here, Oakley Gordon calls it out. And he gives it to Ali Abdul-Sader, busting up the line. The Tigers now are ripping out the other just big chunks. That was a 6 yard gate right up the middle.
And it's all the running back and Oakley Gordon, when he gets a touch, you're not getting touched until they get about 4 yards downfield because of great push on the offensive line. Fantastic job to make sure the defensive linemen, if they're trying to make a play, are about 3-4 yards back from it. So when they're reaching out for an arm tackle, you know you've already got momentum. You've already got 4 yards.
Second and four for the Tigers. Oakley Gordon under center. He's got Ali in motion, and he pitches it to Ali, who goes far to the right side. See if he can get around the corner for his man. He does. He gets past the sticks for a first down. But some laundry came in from the backfield, actually from the defensive backfield. We'll see what the call was. Looks like it's going to be a hold probably against the Tigers.
It is, and I might be honest, that might be the best throw we've seen tonight. That was a 25-yard toss of a hanky. Pretty impressive toss, but that's a tough break if you're Middlebury. You have a great offensive drive coming together, and a tough hold is going to bounce it back. Now you're going to be in about a second and 14-yard situation. This isn't an offense, you know, designed to get that many yards on two plays, but the thing is all day today, they've been getting those type of yards on 1 to 2 plays. So really the hold, in my opinion, it may just end up just becoming a speed bump on what is could potentially be a very, very successful drive.
That was nice. Whoever writes your material, Marshall, you got to give him a tip. I like that. All right. So they mark it off a 10-yard penalty against the Tigers. That's their fourth penalty for a total of 25 yards. Penalties, some points for the story tonight, not really for the Tigers, but much more for the South Burlington Rebels. Tigers come up. They're going to take it over. It's going to be second and nine. Still very manageable distance for the Middlebury Tigers. The way, as you pointed out, the way they've been picking up space. They've got Nick Coe on this left side at wide receiver. I'm guessing that's Chase Mesner on the far side. And it is Oakley Gordon dropping back, and he's looking for Coe. He's wide open in his spot in the middle. He's able to bring it in. I think he's going to be short of the sticks a little bit, but that was a nice connection.
Now, they gave him a very generous spot. They're going to put him at the 50, and I thought he got tackled at the 49. I thought he was going to be short, but a generous spot's going to give him the first down. But fantastic job from Nick Coe. He knows he's about to to get lit. He does a great little button hook to the inside. He knows he's got a safety behind him and a linebacker coming from the inside. Great job to stay strong, make sure the ball is in. You know you're going to get hit, but hold on to it anyway.
And it is first down for the Tigers. And it is Gordon hands it off up the middle. This time it is to the fullback. Oh, sorry, that's the wrong one. It was Parker Gross on the run for the Tigers. Nice little 6-yard gain or so. Powered up the middle by Parker Gross.
And high school football here on 92.1 brought to you by the National Bank of Middlebury. Offering accounts for every stage of life to meet your financial needs in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Virginia.
Gross stays in a fullback. It's Gordon under center. He's got Kaufman coming in motion. It goes to Gross again. Big hole up the middle, broken by the Tigers. Nice nifty room to the left. He's breaking people. One tackler, another tackler. Now he's got a gang. He's gotten all the way down to the 19-yard line. That's a nice pick up of about 25 yards for Parker Gross.
And this is a great job, and it goes back to the athleticism right now for the Middlebury Tiger offensive line and in the backfield. So this is a very, again, big defensive front for South Burlington, but it's not quick. They're not agile up front, so that when they get flat-footed, caught flat-footed on the options, they have nowhere to go, and that's how they're having success, and that's why these are big runs.
And here comes another flag in from the defensive backfield, and we'll see what that call was. But yeah, as you said, as we wait to find out what that was, once he got up into that second layer of space, there was nobody really around him.
He isn't, and that's because of great blocking downfield and a great job from Parker Gross. Those nice little, like you said, nifty moves for them, for himself to get open and get a little space. And this penalty is going to be an illegal substitution, and this is going to be tough to explain. South Burlington brings in their 12th guy, and as they tap out the defender, he doesn't have enough time to get to the South Burlington sideline. He just jumped off onto the Middlebury sideline and decided, I'm going to walk around the back end of the end zone.
There you go.
The goalpost, there's the penalty, and now Tigers move up 5 yards.
He can just stand back there and play three safeties and go out and snag something. All right, so that's going to be a 5-yard penalty against them, and it's a throw out to the right side to Chase Messner. He put his knee down when he caught it. We'll see. Looks like they are going to give him credit for the catch on that quick out, but down by his own knee once he brought it in.
I don't think I've ever seen a substitution play like that. He knows he has to get off the field, and he knows he's about 10 yards away from the middle of our sideline, so he just hops off the field and starts walking away like nothing's happened. I
have to go over here, guys.
You need to see that one on film. That is a nice play. That's a nice substitution.
And so now it's going to go up the middle there, carried by Parker Gross. He actually just busts up the middle of the field, shedding people as he goes, crossing the end zone, touchdown, his first of the season. That was a nice run of about a 14-yard run for Parker Gross right up the middle for a touchdown. Tigers now starting to really put their feet on the neck of the South Burlington Rebels.
And that's good possession here from Parker Gross, who's had a fantastic day on both sides of the ball. From the defensive end position, really putting a lot of pressure on DeMag. And now on this drive, he has a 31-yard run, puts it to the 19, and then the 14-yard punch. And so really does all the heavy lifting from the 50-yard line on outside of the 5-yard penalty.
And it is Oakley Gordon, and that's going to be another penalty against South Burlington as they snap it. I guess they felt like the man had come too far across, so they blow it dead. I think it's going to be encroachment against the Rebels on the extra point.
And this is actually, this could end up being, depending on if, 27-0, so, certainly game in hand for Middlebury, but if they're forced to re-kick this because that play was blown dead and Oakley Gordon doesn't hit this follow-up extra point, if this game were, 27-27 or 27-28, that would certainly go a long way because that is an offside shouldn't be called, shouldn't be a dead ball penalty. Normally those types of plays are on the offense.
That's the part they call it dead.
Exactly. So this could end up, if they are unable to kick this, could end up costing the Tigers a point. And if this were a closer game, could certainly have gone a long way if it was, 27-28 or 27-all right now.
Here's what it seems they call those when they feel like there's a chance of somebody getting kind of plowed over or killed. I didn't really see that on that play. But Oakley's kick is up, and it is good. 4-for-4 for Oakley Gordon. Middlebury Tigers leading the South Burlington Rebels by a score of 28-0. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough.
The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one stop for all your lumber needs or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
Leading up the ball for Middlebury.
And it's the Middlebury Tigers leading the South Burlington Rebels by a score of 28-0 on the nice running on that drive of Parker Gross. Now, Parker on that drive had a total of... I wrote it down. Here I am.
I've got 45.
There we go. Thank you. You got me.
Unofficial.
No, you're absolutely right. 45 yards run there. The 14-yard run at the end to punch it in. Oakley Gordon's extra point was good, and the Tigers now lead by a score of 28-0 as Oakley gets ready to tee it up to the South Burlington Rebels. And here he goes. He's going to get the call in. He's going to put it up in the air. And there it goes. Bouncing down. It hits at about the 12. Gets picked up pretty cleanly there. It's at the 10. The 20 for the return man. He's got a little bit of a gap on the right side. And driven out of bounds on this near sideline by Cortland Fisher. Getting back and reinvolved in the game. It's going to be the Rebels taking over on the 33-yard line.
And Corlin Fisher put a lick on Rick Worthen. And what I like a lot about that, when he gives him a lick, and actually Worthen ends up stepping out of bounds, so the play's dead. But Corlin Fisher doesn't assume that. Gets right up and ends up making the tackle after he puts a pretty good lick on Worthen, who doesn't go down. Great hustle play right there from Corlin Fisher, making sure that his job was not done until he heard the whistle.
And it's Thomas DeMag in the backfield with Colby Barrett, who's been there playing running back all night. DeMag with his standard four wide out set here. DeMag in the shotgun. Trailing by four touchdowns, they're going to need to make something happen. DeMag with a pick quick out to the left side, and a man picking up a little bit of space running forward about 4 yards. That was a reception by Spencer Gruel. And you'd have to think the Rebels are going to work quickly here to try to matriculate the ball down the field.
Great adjustments right now from the Tigers coaching staff. They get picked apart on that opening drive through the air on those short underneath routes. They have eliminated those from the South Burlington game. They shut down the first reads for DeMag and forced him to kind of look through progressions of scramble.
Second and six, it's DeMag throwing out to this sideline. It's going over to Paul O'Neill. O'Neill evades one man, not able to evade the next. He gets a second over in the right flat. He picks up about 2 yards.
One thing about Middlebury defense, and something that we don't see a lot from every team in the state, is that they're very relentless. So if one guy is making a tackle, you've got two or three guys to pursue who are assuming that the tackle is not going to be made, and that's why O'Neill isn't able to break free. He breaks the one tackle from Oakley Gordon, but isn't able to get anything else because the rest of the Tiger defense is right on top of him after he makes a move.
Tigers right now with three down linemen as they try to deal with a split offense. And it's DeMag with a high throw over to that left sideline. It's corralled in by the receiver. No, it looks like it bounced out of his head. Pass incomplete. Nice coverage by Chase Messner, who was able to stay with Nick Leshinsky as he went over to that far side.
And that was a fantastic ball there from Thomas DeMag. Pinpoint accuracy about 30 yards downfield. Unfortunately, Leshinsky's unable to pull it in, but that is a very, very high-class throw, something we haven't seen a lot of those deep balls today from DeMag, but that was on point. Unfortunately, can't pull the ball in.
And it makes you wonder maybe why they hadn't thought about including some more corner kind of throws where you're trying to test those back corners of the Tiger secondary a little more, especially if they reviewed tape last week. And so now it's going to be a punt for the Rebels, who were unable to pick up a first down, and this is kind of spiraling over towards that far sideline. Tigers are going to let it die at about the 35. And Russell, let me ask you, because we're going to have a transition here. The Tigers are going to eat a little time here. Wait, so it's going to be a false start against the Rebels. I'll make this quick. That is their... eighth penalty so far of the game. So, Marshall, we brought up Wayne Smith here. Wayne, who is inducted into the will be inducted tomorrow into the MHS/MUHS Hall of Fame. And you know Wayne in a variety of capacities, including his relative, but also from this whole sports world he occupies. What's kind of been his job around here with the Middlebury Tigers, would you say the most?
He's provided, you know, a a very, you know, overarching voice for a lot of sports. He's the guy that you're a freshman and you hear your name called, and that's the coolest thing of your life at that time, being, you know, 14, 13 years old. You hear your name, you know, in on the tackle or touchdown. So, you know, the only sport in, or the only school in Vermont that announces freshman and JV or football games. So it gives you that, like, sense of, you know, almost of making it, you know, at 13 years of age.
And so the Tigers are now under center, and it's Oakley Gordon who hands it off to Corlin Fisher, finds a big hole on the left side, powers over a defender, and gains about a 11-yard, all about a 10-yard gain. Corlin Fisher making it look almost easy out there. Rugged play. And certainly Wade also gives a lot of his time as a bus driver as well, right?
Yes, and those are always the exciting bus drivers. Obviously, every weekend for football, you would be in on buses, Wayne's bus. And it's also a treat when you, anywhere, you get to go with him.
Oakley Gordon under center. He's got, and Oakley Gordon keeping himself. He goes to the right side. Big open space. Finds the hole. Plows forward about a 14-yard gain by Oakley Gordon. Eventually, he was brought down by Danny Boardman, who was kind of hanging off his back. A nice 14-yard run there by Oakley Gordon.
And speaking of the buses with Wayne, that, you know, played baseball, and he was occasionally be the bus driver, you know, now with Dennis as the lacrosse coach, he takes them everywhere. But Wayne's the only bus driver you ever have a conversation with. A lot of it's get on, the guy's going to give you a ride to the field and back. But Wayne, it's an experience. It's like a carpool, not so much a bus
driver. Nicely said. And it is Oakley Gordon handing it off up the middle, and it looks like it was... Trying to see if that was Gross. No, it was not. That was Corlin Fisher on that run. Gain of maybe two on that. And you see right up in the stands as well.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, certainly for football games in the stands, but also baseball, he'll bring a chair and he'll come out and he'll sit there, and then you get on the bus and he starts critiquing you on why you lost. Apparently, we just did way too much as a baseball program. But, you know, he's always exciting. He's always there. He's always that fan.
Gordon takes it and he hands it off the middle. And this time it is being plowed forward. Looks like we have a new number on the field carrying the ball for the Tigers. That was Spencer Carpenter with his first carry of the night.
And Wayne, you know, always had WOKO, was always blasting on the bus ride. He always had, like, a little music. A lot of buses, it's quiet, or they're not playing it. They're neither playing nothing, they're playing, you know, alternative rock, which I don't know how many 17-year-olds in high school are listening to that kind of thing. But it was always a treat. Wherever you went, it was football or baseball or any sport in between. It was always a good time riding with Wayne.
Tigers, third and eight. It's Oakley Gordon riding out to the left side. Gordon pokes out where he wants a block. Gordon keeps it himself. Runs it back to about the 29. That could be a first down for these Tigers here. With 8 seconds left to go in the third quarter, Tigers up by 4 touchdowns.
That was a good dive from Oakley Gordon to get the first down. And it's actually a pretty good spot, too, at the 27-yard line going in. A great play and a good way to point out Oakley Gordon. He's got, I believe that was Jerry Nemo blocking out in front for him, and a great job from him.
And nice communication there, enabled by Jerry to pick up that block for sure. As the Tigers look over on the sideline here, getting ready for their last play of the quarter. And now they have two wide receivers. They have Coe on the near side and Messenger on the right side and three running backs. They've got Coffin going in motion from the right to the left, but they hand it off to Jerry Nemo. Blast through the middle of the defense. He's got people trying to haul him down. He's struggling all the way down to the 10-yard line. That's an 18-yard gain for Jerry Nemo.
And a fantastic run. He hits the hole very hard. Again, the counterplay continues to work for the Tigers. He gets up inside, and a fantastic job from Nemo. Gets to the next level and just keeps trying. Off his feet, even if got two men hanging
out. Down that third quarter, going into the fourth, it's going to be the Tigers leading by 28-0. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
The Army Reserve has more than 120 unique career opportunities, so you can add to your current strengths or build brand new ones. Join the Army Reserve. You'll make a difference in your life and the lives of others. Learn more at goarmy.com/reserve.
For more information, call your local recruiter at 802-775-2518 or visit goarmy.com/CE16.
They're strong. And then there's Army Strong. Paid for by the United States Army.
McIntyre Services, a family business owned and operated in Middlebury for 72 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline. One on 213 Exchange Street, and you have the news station, 49 Court Street. Both are in Middlebury, and both are open 24-7. Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage their customers to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, which gives you 5 cents a gallon off the pump price of gasoline or diesel. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 72 years.
This is Tiger Football on Addison County's WVTK, Port Henry, Bridport, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And the Tigers first and 10, and they hand it off to Parker Gross, who runs over towards the right side. The Tigers tried to work it out towards the end zone of the Rebels. Right now, they're going to be on the 8. It's going to be second and about 8 to go.
And similar territory as in the last couple of seasons. We've got Andrew Gleason now under center. Spencer Carpenter in the backfield, as well as Kyle Desabre in that halfback for the Tigers.
And so Andrew getting his first snaps as a quarterback. His varsity quarterback, Andrew, keeps himself, runs out to the right side, finding a little bit of a hole there. Gets knocked on the head pretty good as he crosses the 5-yard line. Gets to about the 4. That's a 4-yard gain for Andrew Gleason.
And that was not a broken play. Didn't quite rotate quick enough to get the ball inside to Trey Coffin, but does a good job. Scrambles to the edge, finds a little bit of a crease to get up inside before getting clocked, but does pick up about 3-4 yards and makes a third and manageable here from the 4-yard line headed in.
Andrew Gleason, very successful with the junior varsity team last year. Really made a lot of noise. There's some questions that people started how much he would get to play, some questions how much he pressure Oakley Gordon. Oakley has done a great job this year and done a great job of the job. And nice to see Andrew get a little bit of time here under center. Andrew takes it. He hands it up the middle to the running back, who dives through. And that is a touchdown for Kyle Desabre, his first as a varsity football player.
And that's how you kick off the fourth quarter. You bring in the backup, but there's not really a step back for this team. It's not so much of a backup situation as it's just the next man up. And a great run, Kyle Desbury, 2 carries on that possession inside. And certainly a great feeling when you can come in, hit the ball, have some success, and get that first touchdown under your belt.
All right, nice job there by him for sure. The Tigers, boy, they're just starting to pour it on here, 34-0, looking forward for their final touchdown. A few fans are starting to go out, but people came here for homecoming night. Looks like everybody's kind of staying put. And so now Gordon is going to be in for the point after. And it's high over Andrew Gleason's head. Oakley Gordon covering it up. And so that is going to be fumbled off. No good there. And so it's going to be 34-0, Middlebury Tigers early in the fourth quarter. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Addison County Commission Sales is a locally owned and operated livestock auction service. The Wisnowski family has been serving Addison County farmers and surrounding area for over 65 years. Livestock sales are held every Monday and Thursday starting at 3 p.m. Livestock trucking, free herd appraisals, and dairy replacement are also available upon request. Addison County Commission Sales. Visit them on Route 125 in East Middlebury. For more details, go to accscattle.com.
This is where the Middlebury Tigers play. 92.1 WVTK.
Game's running time.
We'll call it Worthy Deep again. Works out perfectly.
And Oakley Gordon ready to tee it up here for the Tigers, kicking it down to the South Burlington Rebels. And there we go. South Burlington at this point. What do you think they're going to have to think about, Marshall?
Don't look at the scoreboard. Try to just play the game. Finish it out. Do what you've done. And see this as an opportunity to improve, not worry about the win-loss record.
Gordon bounces it down. It's going to be picked up at around the 12. Van Chyder Tony gets into the middle of the field, gets run into a pair of Tigers. Parker Gross getting involved again. There's that number 35 getting involved, along with number 77, Maverick Payne, has been doing some nice work tonight, for sure.
And, you know, by ignoring the scoreboard, obviously it's tough. You're getting beat 34-0, but the key is that some things have worked for you. Try to figure out what those things are and try to, you know, finish off this game and do what you can to be productive. Don't worry about your losing this football game. Just try to do what you normally do. See, this is not an extra day of practice so much, but just as an opportunity to do something better as we start to hit the stretch run of the season.
That's got to be tough, though. You know you're going to be 0-5. You know you're out of the playoffs. There's got to be a certain point where it's that hard, where you do start, it no longer feels like practice. It kind of feels like, let's get it over with. And the quarterback keeping it himself, he's running right, he's running left. He gets brought down. That's Maverick Payne sacking him as he was running around in the backfield. No gain, and just a lot of confusion there on the part of Thomas DeMag.
And certainly, you know, when you reach the tail end and when you pass the halfway point in a season where you know you may not have much postseason capabilities, if any at all, it does get frustrating because you don't, it's tough to really get yourself focused to come up and practice and come up to play. So big testament to what they're doing tonight.
4 yard loss for Thomas DeMag, but he's keeping it. He's rolling out to his right. He's got a receiver open and then streaking down the sideline. We'll see how closely he was, close he was to the sticks when he got brought out. But a nice gain there from DeMag to Colby Barrett.
And honestly, the offense has not been the problem tonight for South Burlington. This has actually been a pretty well-moving offensive unit. They've done some pretty good jobs through the air against this Tiger secondary that we have talked about has struggled against the past. Tigers have made good adjustments, but at the same time, it's been a productive day on offense. It's been the defensive side of the ball that really has done the Rebels in.
It was a 14-yard pickup for Colby Barrett on that throw. And it's DeMag back again. He's looking downfield, pressured by some Tigers, but he's keeping it himself, running to the right. Gets back over his own line of scrimmage, but maybe only gains about two. Jerry Nemo bringing him down.
And I'm going to go back to that opening drive. Rebels get the ball to about the 23-yard line, second and 10, or second and 8 just about actually on that possession. And those three false starts, you know, that's the turning point in this game. You have a chance to go up 7-0, get confidence going, and you end up shooting yourself in the foot and backing yourself all the way out of scoring range. Tigers go down and score easily, make a 7-0, 14-0 and a half. I think that's where the problems begin.
DeMag, it's a high snap to him from the center. He falls on it. That's the second time he's had to do that today. Rebels, things keep getting worse here. They're going to lose about 6 on that one. And it's going to be 3rd and 14 for the Rebels, trailing by a score of 34-0 with 8:44 left to go in this football game. DeMag's calling it out. He's got three wide receivers to the left, one over to the right, one running back in the backfield. It's high to DeMag, but he's able to corral it. He drops back. Big long throw downfield. Chance there as Andrew Gleason stays stride for stride with Rick Worthen. Worthen unable to bring it in. So as they look at 4th and 14, Marshall, what are some of the games that you're thinking about might be interesting this weekend for people to follow when they check the football frenzy or other things tonight?
The one thing, that game I'm kind of interested, two of them going on tonight, Rice at Hartford, not so much of, you know, we talk about Rice, Hartford, Rice is 1-3, Hartford's kind of risen back to the top. That interests me in how Rice can kind of respond and try to go on the road to one of the league's elite teams, but also Rutland and Mount Anthony, two teams that Rutland back to the top, Mount Anthony trying to get to the top here in Division One.
And it's a punt bouncing downfield. It's taken by Chase Nesner at about the 40. He gets up to the 50. He's about the 45. He cuts back inside, gets down to the 40. There's some hankies on the field. And as you point out, Marshall, there's we'll see what happens there. But Hartford really has established itself again. For me, it looks like, you know, as people sit at home and wonder who those teams are that could give Middlebury some trouble, there's Hartford once again. And there's Rutland, who does some things that really stand as potential dangers for the Middlebury Tigers. As the penalties decline, the Tigers are going to take over.
Absolutely. You know, it's unfortunate that Middlebury doesn't get a chance to play either of them. As you look at their schedule, Essex, Rice, and CVU are their final three. It's frustrating because you don't really get to see what you look like. Now, you kind of go up against South Burlington, the struggle, their own four. You go up against Mount Anthony and Brownsville, who are these teams that kind of on the up. They haven't proven themselves in the last two or three seasons as, you know, the elite teams in Division One. It's a little unfortunate that you don't get to test yourself because come playoff time, you've only played one, at this point, one elite team, and that was Colchester. You had a lot of struggles against them. You don't really find your holes when you beat a team 34-0. You find your holes when you have to work on when you win 18-14.
And Tigers with some other faces in here as Gleason takes it, hands it up the middle. It's Carpenter busting some moves. He started at his team's 30, and he ended up at the 20. There is nothing fancy about that. That was Spencer Carpenter just diving up the middle for 21-yard gain.
Fantastic run from Spencer Carpenter. And speaking of fantastic, Tiger football brought to you by Fulminato, changing the way you feel about buying a car in South Burlington and Barrie.
And so one thing, as you point out, those teams, Rutland certainly, I think it's Andy Kanosh under center for the Rutland Raiders, and that boy can throw it around with anyone. And so that'll be certainly for me as I look forward to the playoffs. That's a team I'll expect for the Tigers to run into. And a team that, in a way, those final three games, Marshall, especially with CVU now scrapping the spread and going to more of a double wing, they're not going to get to practice much against that. Here's Parker Gross getting the ball from the fullback position, headed out to the left, bouncing off of man, that's not too bad. Hard running there. And let's see, touchdown. That's his second of the night. Wow, there's some spaces on that left side, but he had to run through two. That is a touchdown. And Spencer got a 20-yard run, I think.
18 yards out.
18 yards out. Thank you very much.
He's had a great game, both sides of the football. He's done a fantastic job on the defensive side. Now, lately, especially, he's spelling Corlin Fisher and doing a great job getting up inside, making sure that he's doing his job. And then a great counter. He shows that he can go inside. He can go out. He's shown the capability and the diversity to go really anywhere he needs to. And another great run, has to plug through a lot of guys there at the end, but a very athletic and finesse and at the same time powerful run.
And so it is now, let's see that number is. I can't quite see from here who it is putting that up. That is, I knew what that number was last year. That is Doug D. Lorenzo. I'll explain later why that's special to me to see Doug D. in there. Doug D. Lorenzo gets his first varsity point as the extra point kicker. And it's Tigers now leading by a score of 41-0. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Houston's Farm Supply in Bridport carries the high-pressure cleaning equipment that gets the job done right. Let them show you the Hotzi hot and cold pressure washers. Available in electrical, all voltages, and gas or diesel propane. Houston's Farm Supply is a full-service dealer carrying all parts and accessories, plus a full line of detergents from 5-gallon pails to 55-gallon drums. When it comes to high-power pressure washers, you'll find the best, Hotzi, at Houston's Farm Supply on the Crown Point Road in Bridport.
The MUHS Tigers play here. WVTK, Port Henry, Virgins, Middlebury, 92.1. WVTK. This is Tiger football on 92.1. WVTK.
And it's Doug DiLorenzo ready to set it up and kick it downfield. Nice leg there by D'Lo as he gets it down and picked up at about the 15. And the turner coming up the center, gets to the middle, and he's brought down there by Cortland Fisher right in the middle of the field. And I have to admit, I'm a little biased. Those who may know at home that I am a teacher at Middlebury High School, Doug DiLorenzo is in my TA. So it's nice to see him get his first varsity points. And Andrew Gleason is as well. It's nice to see him get an interception. So always fun, TA, for those who don't know. It's another word for homeroom that we have in Middlebury High School. So
always good conversation. You know, like I said to you during the break, Joey Zeno and myself were in TA. Always fun conversation during the football season, coming in on Mondays with Mr. Eddie as a teacher, kind of break down the last week of action. Always a good time.
Oh, I can imagine. And we've got a new quarterback here. Doug gets his hand to the face and knocks it down. So it's a pass batted at the line of scrimmage by Doug DiLorenzo, as it was Nick Leschinski at a quarterback for the Rebels. I remember Joey Zito, such strong hands. One good thing, I remember one play where a running back's going through the line and Joey just actually reaches out with one hand and just cuffs the guy by the neck and just drops him right in the middle. It wasn't even really a tackle. It was more just a one-handed takedown. It was pretty awesome. And Leschinski now back in the shotgun here for the Rebels, and he takes it. It's a handoff up the middle to a new running back churning forward. Gain of about four there on the part of, I'll identify the number here, number 32, that is Manny Boardman.
I'll say, I've ran into Joey a couple times in practice. I remember senior year, we were doing punt coverage and punt return, so I went back and fielded a punt, waved for a fair catch, and I guess Joey didn't see it, or he just didn't care, and he ran right through me as I'm just standing there receiving the ball.
And it's a nice throw up in the middle, and it's caught. Leschinski throwing it to about the 50. That's going to be a gain of 15 to number 81, Dylan Weaver Nolting. And one might wonder whether he's Cam Nolting's brother. Cam Nolting, an excellent offensive player for South Burlington. Dylan's a junior who can't play tight end, so looks kind of similar out there. Nice play there by the big receiver. First down for South Burlington. pass kicks my Doug DiLorenzo again, putting pressure on it. I swear, I'm not just talking about because of the TA. Now it just looks like I'm hyping him. But he did a nice job there. Nick Leshinsky throwing it, but Doug batting it down. So it's going to be 2nd-and-10 for the Rebels with the ball on the Middlebury 49. Middlebury leading by a score of 41-0, and we are in running time, Marshall. That means that the ball keeps going, even if there's a pass incomplete. And it's kept by the fullback up the middle. He's churning for some more yards. Decent gain of about 6 there for Manny Boardman.
Middlebury Tiger football brought to you by Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury, and by Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury, with a new drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Virginia.
And River Payne out on the field along with some other numbers here. We've got Liam Smith in for the Tigers. And we've got Spencer Carpenter playing linebacker. And we got a drop that Spencer right front drills down the man as the pass is completed in front of him. This pass goes to number 4, Ray Thayer. And but Spencer with a nice tackle there. And I'm going to give you 2 options for that that I'm thinking about, Marshall. And so they're looking over the sideline here, and you're saying there, a lot of good plays in a lot of different places, as you talked about, certainly, for this game. And now the Rebels are content. Let it run down a little bit, as we are in the running time, something Dave Sears and I got very used to last year. And as Leshinsky, as he took the high snap, drops back to throw, he came out, lost his footing, and he put his knee down on the ground. Middlebury's going to take it over with 3:35 left to go, leading by 41. This is going to be just lots of runs up the middle, I think, for the Middlebury Tigers.
High school football here, 92.1, brought to you by Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury, and 4th and Goal, everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. And like you said, it'll be a lot of up the guts, but this is a good opportunity for some of these backups to get good minutes and good opportunity to see what they're made of. You got Parker Rose, who goes from being a fullback, now he's playing the running back position, so a good chance to give these guys some action.
And this time it goes to Desabray, who goes over to the right side, gets cut down for a loss of about 3.
This is the opportunity, like you said. At the same time of also giving the backups a chance to get inside, it also gives the chance for these starters to get a rest, especially midway through the season. Now you're ending 5 games, a chance to kind of take a break in the middle of a Friday night game certainly isn't ever not appreciated. You want to stay healthy. You want to make sure that everyone is going to be ready and raring to go for next week. So this is a chance to get not only the backups, but also spell the starters who have been working, you know, through the first half of the season so hard through every single game.
Well, the backups this year, last year, were veterans coming into this year because they played half of every game. Spencer Carpenter running hard up the middle. Nothing fancy about this. Getting the ball from Edgar Gleason, just pulling his way to a gain of about 8 yards there.
Middlebury football brought to you by Mike's Fuels for all your home, business, and agricultural needs, Route 22A in Bridport, and of course by J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them, J.P. Carrera and Sons, at 388-6363. That's 388-6363.
And just to continue that a little bit, you know, it's funny, last year we hear so much about Austin Robinson for good reason. We hear so much about Bobby Ritter and Cohen Hathaway. Austin would sometimes be out before they even got to halftime. There was some weeks where his stat line was 3 rushes for 75 yards and a touchdown or so. People would see some of those games and not even get to know just how good Austin was, and he'd be out of the game, and then Oakley Gordon would come in and have twice as many possessions. On that handoff, it was Kyle Desabray taking the ball and running forward for about 6 or so, and good gain there by him. And so here we have Kyle getting in there and him getting some chances. Now, Kyle is a little older. Kyle is a senior, but so great for a guy who's been out there, been practicing, been working hard to get those reps and get a little chance there. And it's Andrew Gleason's in the victory formation here. He's going to take a knee with 58 seconds to take it down. Tigers with it's going to be 2nd-and-10. They're going to run this victory formation 2 more times.
And I had the opportunity to talk to Austin a little bit last season when I could. And it does get frustrating a little bit to have to be sitting on the sideline at the end of the game and not making the big play. But I'll tell you what, when you know that by the end of the season you can sit there and be comfortably healthy and ready for a big championship game, that goes a long way. It really does. And it can be frustrating for a starter to have to watch the end of a football game, but you have to realize you're watching the end of the football game because you played such a great football game. You're up 41-0. You know, that's not my mistake. This isn't a 7-0 finish.
Sure.
So it's because of how good you played. So try to eliminate that frustration. I mean, I've been there. You know, you win a big game. You want to be out there for all four quarters. But at the same time, you get a chance to kind of relax because you played so well.
Well, speaking of the end of the game, Marshall, we've come to the end of the game, finally. It's a score of 41-0 as time ticks off. We're going to be back with the J.P. Carrera post-game player of the game. And Marshall's going to give us a scoring recap when we come back. 41-0, Tigers over the Rebels. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
National Bank of Middlebury is there for you 24/7. Buying a home, sending your kids to college, or starting a new business? They're here to make it happen, helping families and businesses achieve their dreams since 1831. With offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at nbmvt.com, or on your mobile phone, anytime, anywhere. Bank real, live real. National Bank of Middlebury. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
Hi, this is Craig Lee, sales manager at Foster Motors. Continuing through the end of the month, we have three Jeeps for under $200. Jeep Compass at $169, Patriot at $179, Cherokee at $199, and also take advantage of up to $9,800 total values on 1500 Ram Bighorn. Jeep Celebration Event, Ram Truck Month, Chrysler Anniversary Celebration, Dodge Performance Days for well-qualified lessees. Come in to Foster Motors on Route 7 South in Middlebury for details.
How many times have you really felt good about the financial institution you deal with? The people who use all the varied services of One Credit Union on Green Street in Vergennes do. It might be because One Credit Union is known for their unmatched personal service. This service is provided by people you like to work with, not by people you have to work with. Low-fee banking services provided by people you like. It all adds up to One Credit Union. If your bank doesn't add up to that, it's time for a change. One Credit Union, Green Street, Vergennes. One Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark.
Set, fly, ready, fly, ready, hut.
Hey, Martin, it's fun to watch these football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
Now back to the field for more Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
Going back to Doc Collins Field, Tigers are successful. 5-0 record with a 41-0 victory over the South Burlington Rebels. And we'll give you a scoring recap here real quick for you. Started off in the first quarter, 2:12 left after Middlebury survived a South Burlington drive to kick off the game that saw three consecutive false starts from the Rebels. Tigers answered with a 19-yard touchdown connection from Oakley Gordon to Chase Messner through the air. Set up, Ali Abdul-Slater had 37 yards on the ground, and this offense just started going 7-0. Go to the second quarter, 6:41 left in the first half, and Trey Coffman punches in his fourth touchdown in the last two games, and the fourth touchdown in the last three quarters after his three touchdowns. Performance in Colchester, a 6-yard touchdown run that was set up by a 45-yard run from Oakley Gordon and a 15-yard face mask penalty on the Rebels, 14-0 at half. So the third quarter, in the opening drive, Ali Abdul-Sader from 4 yards out makes it 21-0, and that's when it started to pull away. The Rebels had a chance to cut into it. A 62-yard connection put the ball on the 20-yard line for the Rebels, unable to punch in from there, and the Middlebury Tigers answered. A long run from Parker Groves, 31 yards, put the ball on the 19, a 5-yard substitution penalty from the Rebels, put at the 14, and Parker Gross finished it again. 14-yard touchdown, 28-0. Kyle Denzenbrake got his first touchdown of his Tiger career, 10:40 left in the fourth quarter. That extended the score to 34-0 as a high snap on the extra point deemed that one unsuccessful. And then Parker Gross again, 18 yards out with 7:31 left in the fourth quarter, made it 41-0. That's our final. I think just about as good of a lead-in as we can get to our J.P. Carrera player of the game. Add that up for me.
And here we are with our J.P. Carrera player of the game, Parker Gross. And just so you know, very often people think you end up here because of statistics, and it is true that you were able to punch two in, but really, where you really started getting really kind of noticed, where we started calling out your name a lot, was on defense. You really get involved and really pressure the quarterback. Talk to us a little bit about your defensive game tonight.
Well,
we're really, really worried about getting the quarterback. And when we were going for him, and he was really stepping up out in the pocket, making it hard for us to rush him, making it difficult on us, and we did a good job adjusting to it.
Yeah, the oftentimes you'd be flushing him out, and then somebody else, Bruce, and some other people would come up and kind of clean it up. So you did a great job there. And so you know, you're at fullback position. You tend to get the second call up. Usually the first rotation goes to Corland. And when you go in there, kind of how do you feel when you get in there and get a chance to touch the ball?
I'm just looking for an opportunity to make my mark on the field.
And you really plowed through. I mean, you know, 65 yards, and to understand for people at home, a lot of people got carries tonight. It was very diverse. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 players touch the ball. So you have to share it with other people. But you had some big plays tonight, and you had talked about a couple long runs here. And what did they do possible for you to get those long runs?
All the blocking. They do the hard work.
There was one actually that was over to the middle where kind of everyone fell away from you at one point. You're just kind of rambling through the roses there. That was pretty nice. They do the hard work. And, you know, what are some things that your coaches pointed out? Last week you had a tough game. Last week you guys, not you particularly, the whole team, the whole gang, but you weathered, you survived, and you ended up winning an important game. And what were some things that your coaches said, you know, and it doesn't need to be real specifics because we know you're not, you know, you can't give out those things, but what were some things they focused on coming into today?
We really focused on making sure we didn't fall for their trick plays. They've been doing a lot of trick plays, fooling everyone, really.
Yep.
And we worked on making sure we knew how to handle tough lineups, tough everything.
And your secondary did a nice job tonight.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did. I mean, we could have had a lot of guys. Andrew Gleason doing a nice job. Ali getting in there. Chase Mesner with some nice breakups. Oakley with some nice breakups. Great job by the guys there. And so looking forward, 3 more games left in the season. The regular season, you'll have some more after that. How's it feel to win homecoming?
Feels great.
Well, nice job, J.P. Carrera, player of the game, Parker Gross, and congratulations. Just
Thanks.
So you know how it works, you can only win this once a season. That doesn't mean you get to back off on the field and say, well, I've been player of the game. But nice job, and congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, let's hand it back over to Marshall. And that was our J.P. Carrera, player of the game, Parker Gross. We'll be right back after this with a few of Marshall's end-of-the-game thoughts as we have Hall of Famer Wayne Smith joining us in the booth right now. Hi, Wayne. Nice work. We'll be right back after this. It's Middlebury Tiger Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Hey, sports fans, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold on Main Street in Middlebury, Vermont. This season, whether you're looking to design the perfect engagement ring, searching for jewelry for that special occasion, or wanting to restore or repair any piece of jewelry, stop in at Autumn Gold to visit our talented lineup of in-house designers, goldsmiths, and service pros. We'll help you get around those bases and score a home run. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
Soon the leaves will be turning and fall will be close at hand. Hi, this is Paul at Vermont Field Sports, and we would like to remind you that bow season is almost here. Make sure your bow is tuned up and ready for the hunt. Stop in to Vermont Field Sports and have Tim tune your bow for that shot you've been scouting for. And don't forget to check out the new PSE and Parker bows and crossbows. With 30 years experience, the staff at Vermont Field Sports can answer all of your questions. Vermont Field Sports, located at 1458 Route 7 South in Middlebury.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. A proud sponsor of Tiger Football.
This is Middlebury Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And it's game over. Another homecoming in the books. So the Middlebury Tigers did it in the way they like it, winning 41-0 over the Rebels of South Burlington. And Marshall, a question for you. Can the Tigers learn anything from tonight? We talk about development. We talk about growth. Such a lopsided game. If you're the coaches, how do you build from this?
That's a tough one. You were right at the break. What I still saw was the secondary, but it was an improved secondary in the fact that in weeks past they'd done a lot of zone coverage and given up that underneath, and what had happened was especially Colchester, they nickel and dime the underneath, and then they toss it over the top for a big gain or the potential for a big gain. And what I saw this week was a lot of great man coverage. They get on the line and they disrupt the wide receiver as they're coming off the line of scrimmage. And that really prohibited South Burlington from having a lot of success after that first drive. First two drives of South Burlington was very productive. They had great long drives and they had great passing drives where they could get a 6 to 7 yard reception almost every time. When Middlebury went to the man coverage, it essentially eliminated those underneath passes, and that's what I think they need to do. So if I'm taking anything, that's what I'm taking from this, is that, hey, we can play man coverage with these guys. And this is a good offense. I mean, there's no doubt about it. This is an athletic offense. And I think the problem with South Burlington was the defensive side of the ball up front. Middlebury just had an advantage as far as speed and athleticism, which we talked about throughout the game. So great coverage, and that's what I'm taking from you. You win 41-0, but you look at it. You can talk all you want about the 41, but it's the nothing on the other side of the line. You can look at the South Burlington schedule in front of us, and they put up some decent games. You know, 24 against Rutland, 20 against Brattleboro in the last 2 weeks. This has been an offense that, even though they lose those games, this has been an offense that's been productive. So you still hung them to nothing. That's big, and you can't overlook that.
Sure, and able to get yourself going against a quarterback who can really toss it around,
exactly,
and receivers who can throw it around. So it'll be interesting to watch the next 3 weeks, Marshall, as we go throughout through the end of the regular season. The next three teams for Middlebury do not stack up as incredible challenges, although you never know what could happen. You don't want to jinx anything. Essex is behind handily tonight on the BFA St. Albans. Rice, not as strong maybe as we might have expected. That's two games out. And then the Tigers are going to round out the regular season against the CBU Redhawks, who started out looking pretty strong, and then it'll be interesting what happens this weekend, because last weekend they lost to Essex by a score of 20-14. CBU with always so much talent potentially, and going to a new, more run-based triple option attack. See how that keeps moving forward as we go. So for the Tigers, it'll be interesting to see, you make it through those 3 weeks and see who you get. I think for us at home and for us and for those at home, we're really going to be thinking about who we're not going to get to see.
Yep.
Hartford's up big tonight. Rutland's up big tonight. Those are the teams we expect to be up big, and those are the teams we're going to be thinking about. Where do we go? So I think for those at home watching, get on the Friday Football Frenzy, pay attention to their friends up at the Burlington Free Press, and find out what's going on. You got to see what's happening in the whole state, not just around here.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that kind of was a little bit of the conversation last season, but on the other side of the coin, Middlebury played a lot of those big-name teams last season, and St. Johnsbury didn't. St. Johnsbury played a little bit weaker schedule. They go undefeated to the state championship game, and it was when they got there, the question mark was, okay, Middlebury's been tested and they're undefeated. St. J has been undefeated, but they haven't necessarily been tested. This is going to be that type of situation where if and when Middlebury, if they plan on winning a state championship, they're going to have to beat Rutland and Hartford, or Hartford, one of the combination of the two, if not both. Eventually, there's going to be the conversation. Middlebury is undefeated, and they haven't been tested except for one game. And that's not to take anything away, but you just look at these types of scores. If the season kind of pans out the way it looks like it could on paper, you play Hartford or Rutland, and they say, these guys have been tested. They played out of state and took some losses out of state. These guys are used to some big-name teams. How's that going to stack up? That's kind of the one concern I have right now. You can win these games, and I like the way they play. And if you're going to beat a South Burlington team who's 0-4 coming in, you got to beat them handily. You can't beat a 21-0 type of football game. You have to beat them handily. You beat the team you're supposed to be handily. How's the rest of the season going to pan out? That's going to be interesting. That's going to create the conversation for the postseason when they do end up running into Hartford and Rutland and those teams along those lines, and potentially Colchester again.
And we'll see what happens, certainly, but you can't argue with the things tonight. The Tigers keep the truck on rolling and extend it out to 27 straight. The Middlebury Tigers winning by a score of 41-0 over the South Burlington Rebels on homecoming night. For Marshall Hastings, I'm Bjarke Sears. Thank you to everyone involved, including Jim Tye back in the studio. Certainly thanks for Austin Danforth from the Burlington Free Press for being on and giving us some statistics and information as well. And thanks for everyone who make football on 92.1 WVTK possible. And congratulations finally to Wade Smith for getting into the MUHS Hall of Fame. For Marshall, I'm Bjarke. We'll see you next week. And enjoy the rest of homecoming weekend if you're involved with it.
You've been listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1. WVTK. Tiger football all season long on WVTK is brought to you in part by
your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union, Green Street in Vergennes. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years. Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your True Value hardware store. Bordon Insurance of Middlebury, home of the co-op chicks for all your insurance needs. Eustace Farm Supply and Hardware, proudly started and run by the Eustace family of Brit Porsche. Monument Farms of Weybridge, join the movement and support local farms. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Vermont Field Sports, for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns, Route 7 in Middlebury. Mike's Auto and Towing, for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike'sAutoMid.com. That's Mike's Auto, M-I-D-D.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, offering accounts for every stage of life to meet your financial needs in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes. LaBerge Insurance, LaBerge equals insurance, Washington Street in Middlebury. Pool and Auto, changing the way you feel about buying a car in South Burlington and Barrie. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury. Desibray's Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, with a drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Vergennes. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury. Fourth and Goal, everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Mike's Fuels, for all your home, business, and agricultural needs, Route 22A in Bridport. Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one. And J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
For a complete schedule of sports heard on 92.1 WVTK and more information, visit 921WVTK.com. Thanks for listening. This has been a local sports production on Addison County's 92.1 WVTK.